butter. Ba-o-e.
I put it butter.
I can't see Matt. How did I, what did I do here?
I'm right here, boys. You can see me.
Let me see. The streaming is up. I got too many fucking things open.
No, when I Skype minimize, all I see is Tony.
I'm sorry.
That's all that matters,
dude. Must
be hard
on your eyes.
How do I want to see, I want to get you both there, though. But I don't want the whole Skype window up.
But I don't want it. But I don't want it.
Whoa. Share a screen? No, that's not it.
You got to come down now.
Okay.
All right.
Let me see. We're going. Let me just press the hot mic button, and we're good to go.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to hit the hot mic button over here so I can watch and chat.
Are you sure you want to go live? Absolutely. And we are live on the hot mic.
Why?
Why not?
Because we love it. Our fans love it. The people out there love it. And it's good times.
All right, boys. Are you ready? We have so much professional wrestling to talk about. Kevin's got a top five list. Kevin's in charge of Can You Beat That Tonight. The NWA Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa, joins us. We got an insane amount of wrestling news. I went on a figure hunt today, and I can talk about that. There's so much. So let's get this going. We're on the rant, rantiumradio.com. If you're listening live, and you should be every Monday night at this time, 7 p.m. or around 7 p.m. Sometimes we start a little early, a little bonus for you. And then on the hot mic app on the phone. And when you download it, just throw in Wizards. And that'll you know, then they know, the hot mic people know that the Wizard sent you, and it's free. It's free for you. It's free for me. And you can look at our ugly mugs for 2 hours while we talk wrestling. And if you're lucky, the beautiful Thunder Rosa should throw a face up on the screen for you. That's all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 494. The road to 500 continues.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is outlandish Zicky Dice, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road to episode 500. Of course, you are tuned in once again live to another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevin.
What's going on, you laughing hyenas?
Man, nothing.
How could you say nothing? There's a bazillion things going on in the world of professional wrestling.
Well, that's true, but you didn't ask me that.
Okay, what's going on in the world of KJG?
Oof. Hockey. A whole lot of hockey, baby.
Hockey, I like it.
All day, every day, watching every single puck drop since they started. So it's been fun for me. I'm in all my glory right now.
We might have touched on it last week, but refresh my memory. Is it all like just one completely big tournament now, hockey? Is that all it is?
All right. So it started with like qualifiers where you had to win a best of five series if you weren't already a top, I guess, eight seed. And the top eight seeds just played a round robin to determine where they seeded. And now all the qualifiers are in. Now all the top seeds are in. So now you have, you know, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 6. So this is the actual playoffs now. These are the best of 7. like legit, like if we had a regular season, this is what we'd have.
Were all the teams involved or were some? Okay. So how did they get to that? Had they played part of the season earlier?
Yes. They, okay. So they stopped right when basketball stopped, right on like March 11th ish. And they came back August 1st, I want to say, maybe a little later. Yeah, but so it was all the teams that were already in the playoffs, they got to go into like the round robin to determine seeding. They took, I think it was 8 teams outside who were like maybe 2 points out, 3 points out, and made them play each other in a best of 5 series to get in. So that's how the Islanders got in. The Rangers got swept by Carolina, so they lost in 3 games. Islanders won, and they're up 3-0 against the 3 seed, the Washington Capitals. Ah, boy, I'm excited. Lots of stuff going on about hockey.
Hey, we got a lot going on here on The Fan. You want to call in? Call in on The Fan. Talk about some hockey. What's the best wrestling hockey fight? Bret Hart, very synonymous for pulling the jersey up over several announcers, has Vince McMahon being the number one answer. That's my top 5.
Every single match featuring the Goon.
Oh, fuck, the Goon. Man, I was thinking about that today, right?
Actually, Matt, let me cut you off real quick. Because one of my things I was mulling over for the top 5 was sports themed matches, but I couldn't think of enough, so I didn't go with it.
I was thinking about, so IRS has a T-shirt. Mike Rotunda has a T-shirt store now in Pro Wrestling Tees, right? Mike Rotunda. And I was thinking, like, what's that? I want to know what that meeting is like when he goes from WWF. Then he goes to NWA, and then he goes back to WWF, and he sits down in Vince's office. And Vince is like, you can wrestle, you're a legit wrestler, but we're going to make you, you're going to be the tax man. How do you like it? It's such a ridiculous, all the gimmicks in the 90s were ridiculous. Like, it blows my mind. What do you
that
mean?
That one wasn't the worst, though.
It wasn't, I didn't say it was the worst, but it's up, it's a head scratcher.
I mean, his promos were pretty bad. If you wanted to saddle like someone with that gimmick, at least make sure they can talk and not just say tax cheats and audit. But like, I think it was a really good. I actually really like it.
I think like, it's just a weird gimmick.
He's just an evil. Like that's why they put him with Million Dollar Man. And that's why Vince McMahon was such a. He has all the power. Like he could like control everything about your life if he wants to. Tony, you're looking like me, looking at me like.
No. You guys keep talking.
Pay no mind to Tony. 8 o'clock, Thunder Rosa, the NWA Women's Champion, joins us. And if you've been listening to the podcast for the last couple of weeks, we can get back into the horrible gimmick conversation, Kevin, but I just want to get this out of the way.
You're the boss, baby.
I don't like being called the boss. The people from the Wednesday Night Show call me boss. It fucking annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, you're definitely the boss of them.
Tony Danza is the boss. Let's just get that out of the way right now.
Angela.
Hey. So we're now two. What was that, Tony? You take a picture?
What?
We're two. Your screen flashed.
Yeah, because for some reason I can't get my screen back up on Skype, so I have to pull myself up on my FaceTime camera. So don't worry about it. We're good.
All right, not worried. So 2 weeks ago, AEW, Jazzwares, figures. Walmart exclusive. I've been going religiously. I've been for the fucking century. But we made a little discovery today, so I decided to go in a different direction. All right. I went to Rockaway. Right?
You went to Rockaway Mall?
No, there's a Walmart up there. So I went up there. No figures, but I did find this.
Yes! Woo! That's
so
awesome.
They had the pegs there, clearly empty, completely nothing on them. And I grabbed the last two belts.
They had pegs? There wasn't the display? So did you see UFC figures?
I did not see any UFC figures. But then I went, so from Rockaway, I went to Mount Olive. Same thing wiped out, but they had the pegs there, all gone. And then I went to Riverdale. They didn't have anything. But then the Booten one had the pegs. So I was like, shit. And then I went to the one over here in Cedar Knolls by me. when I had stopped there in the morning, it was like early in the morning, they were just like a big cart. They just rolled it out into the toy aisle. And I didn't want to be that guy to like
go through the boxes. Oh, you got
it. Well, people were working, so I didn't want to bother anybody. And one kid was already complaining. He was like, who the fuck is that person to tell me to shut up? And I was like, I'm not getting involved in this. So
did it say Jazz when it was on the box?
No. So I went back. That was my last stop in the circle, and nothing. There was nothing there. So, but some signs, some positive signs.
I'm going to see exactly. Positive signs out of this is that because they were, you went to three and they were all empty, you could either take that like negatively, like they were there and they're gone, or that they're getting ready to have them be there.
Right. Well, I'm assuming they might not. I'm assuming the Rockaway one, they were there because the belts were there too.
That doesn't mean anything, Matt. The belts and the rings have been everywhere for a while with no sign of figures.
Ooh, nobody got a ring? I heard the rings are pretty fucking swank.
Well, there's two rings. There's this one, which has been out for a little while, and then there's the actual to scale ring, which I'm not sure is out yet, or if that's only through ringside. You like the authentic scale, which is
And that comes with a Kenny Omega figure.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's my AEW figure adventures for this Monday.
I love the dedication, man. Because there's at least you have like Walmarts near you. Like how far is that Cedar Knolls Walmart from you? Like five
from
minutes?
From me, it's like 5 minutes down the road. They probably think I'm a psychopath because I probably stop there once a day. And I just go beeline it to the toy section and then I just leave.
Who cares? Yeah,
I'd have to go to the one either in Union, which is like 25 minutes, or to Kearney, which I've actually heard that there's been sightings there of the figures in Kearney.
All I know is they had the Galaga Arcade 1-Up for $50 and it was all sold out. I'm pissed off I didn't get a chance to jump on it.
So did you go and not check for AEW figures?
I don't leave the house, dude. What are you, crazy?
Oh, well, how'd you know they had the Galaga?
Because you ever go to BrickSeek.com?
BrickSeek.
Good old BrickSeek. If you people don't know what I'm talking about, go to BrickSeek.com. You could pretty much track anything, anywhere, including discounted stuff.
Yeah, so, but yeah. when it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah, but you know what? They had the UPC code, and it matched up with Walmart, and they had them on sale everywhere, and they were just all completely sold out. Everywhere. They had them in Garfield, they were sold out. They had them in Kearney, they were sold out. They had them in Union on 22, they were sold out. And they had them all listed for $50. I don't know what it was with that machine, but dude, I would love to have a Galaga machine for $50. That would have been fucking awesome. Missed out. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Not miss out on that AEW championship belt. Thank you, sir.
I thought you mentioned it in passing that you wanted one, so.
Yeah, I did. I did, and I completely appreciate it. Thank you for the get. That was awesome.
Of course. I was out there. I saw it. I grabbed it. So.
Oh, the second one's for T-Dunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't really.
Because I'm the champ.
I'm the champ of AEW.
So where do you guys want to start? There's so much shit to talk about. Do you want to start with your Raw Underground, Tony, where a man crushed another man's penis last week?
Oh, do I ever!
Grab his dick and twist it! twist that dick!
Twist his dick!
Wait. Is that real audio?
Grab his dick and twist it!
Yeah, that's Shane McMahon. He's yelling, directives to the fighter.
You twist that dick!
Twist his dick!
What is that from?
My man, Yabba Dabba Doo, twisting dicks in the underground. I love it. Not only that, but Shayna Baszler beat up three women, dude. You can't tell me Raw Underground is not the greatest thing in professional wrestling right now.
I most certainly can.
Oh, come on, dude.
So,
that's
wait.
Fantastic.
I got a question. Who did the dick grab?
Oh, Yabba Dabba Doo, Dabba-Kato.
Dabba-Kato, let's see. Yes. Okay.
Twisting dicks.
Oh, okay, yeah. Arturo Rujas beat his opponent easily with a spinning kick.
Yeah, and Arturo Rujas is taking on Riddick Moss tonight. The Underground continues.
Oh,
love it.
All right. Were you excited about it?
Hell yeah! What are you, crazy? How could you not be?
So, let me... I didn't watch any of this, and I only saw the clip that was shared of the dick grab.
The dick twist.
Is this like, is it like just a segment and then we go back to like regular Raw?
Kind of, yeah. Like, see, when they talked about it originally, I thought this was going to be an hour straight, but yeah, they do a little segment, then they go back, then they do another little segment, then they go back. It's kind of interspersed, you know, between that and what's the other thing they're doing now? The NXT fake thing, whatever the hell they call it. The Retribution? That's it.
Yeah, Retribution.
Oh, yeah, because yeah, I see they've been splicing that in, turning off lights and cameras and things like that. And didn't they beat up a woman a couple of weeks ago?
Well, a couple of them are women, so
that makes sense. Well, there you go. Look at that. Equality. I like it. Even though they suck. why? Don't look at me like that. It's equality, bro. Men and women working together for a cause? Come on.
Did you see that? People are saying that now Tommaso Ciampa may have something to do with this.
What, twisting dicks?
No, the Retribution. Ciampa might be behind it, maybe.
Because he lost to fucking jacked arms over there.
Karrion Kross.
Yeah, Karrion Kross.
All right, we're all over the place here. We're talking. I want to finish this underground talk because I don't understand what the fuck is going on here.
It's underground fighting, dude. They got girls on the side dancing, and Kate loves that fact.
But what's the purpose?
To show supremacy, bro. It's just underground fighting. It's Raw. It's great. I mean, it's on Raw, but it's Raw on Raw. So it's like Raw squared.
Oh.
Raw squared grittiness, dude. It's unbelievable. It's just guys beating each other up almost like it's MMA style. And dick grabs are allowed. Yes, Matt.
I have a question. Is it the same people every week?
Well, we're going to see what's his name again tonight. We're going to see Arturo Ruas again tonight. So, yeah. Shayna Baszler was on last week. She wasn't on the week before. So she might return tonight. Yes, Matt. Another question.
I have another question. So Shayna Baszler is great at the Raw Underground, but she can't win a Battle Royal on SmackDown.
That's right.
Yeah,
I just need to make sure that I'm on this. I understand what's going on here.
Because there's no rules in the underground, dude. Don't you get it?
No.
Matt, if I asked you what are the rules of the underground, what are the rules?
I don't know.
You don't need to know because there are no rules. If you gave me a rule, I'd say, nope, you're wrong because there's no rules.
Well, look, if you're going to do this fight, there can't be any eye gouging or fish hooking. We haven't seen that yet, right?
But we've seen dick twisting.
Well, according to this review here, it was a nut grab, but, you know, depending on the size of the sausage, you could have got some dick in there, too.
Dude, I don't know whose nuts will fit in the palm of somebody's hand without getting a little sausage to go with it, if we're going that route.
Well, unless the nut grabber has, like, Dr. Claw precision. From Inspector Gadget, and he just grabs the nuts.
I heard that Mr. Dabakato was training in Hawaii with the legendary Von Erich family. So if anybody knows about testicular claws, it would be him. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I heard he also, on the way back from Hawaii, his flight landed out at JFK, and he drove past the Foley household, and he even gave him the finer points of grabbing testicles. So there you go.
I did not. I'm sorry, Tony.
I'm versed in crotch grabbing.
I was unaware that the Von Erichs were experts at nut grabbing.
Oh, come on, dude. They got to climb the trees in Hawaii now. They've been working on that for a decade already.
Nut grabbers.
They do the claw on your head. They don't do the claw on your balls.
No, but you know why they're barefoot? You know why Kevin Von Erich is still barefoot after all this time? Because he uses his bare feet to climb the coconut trees like the Samoans to get the coconuts down. And don't look at me like I'm crazy because I've seen them do it. I've seen demonstrations.
They climb the trees and
they get the coconuts with their bare hands and their bare feet. Yes, Matt, you have a question.
You've seen Kevin Von Erich tree climbing exhibitions?
No. I know Kevin Von Erich's training.
Is this what MLW is putting on now? Kevin Von Erich's climbing a fucking coconut tree? Is this what we're watching?
I think it got cut out of the last MLW Pulp Fusion, actually.
Probably get on the horn with Court.
Listen, well, I mean, look, there's a lot of bones I like to pick with Court when he messes up on stuff as well. But, you know, giving away the secrets of the Von Erich family climbing coconut trees, I can't knock him for that, dude. I wouldn't want my family secrets out in the open either. which is why Dabakato is such an expert now, because he's the only one that knows the secrets of the training. Well, him and the Von Erich boys.
Where did the Dabo come from? What kind of name is Dabo?
His father was a Hanna-Barbera fan, so when he was born, he was so happy he yelled Yabba Dabba Doo, so his name became Dabakato.
I guess
he was also a Green Hornet fan too.
If I couldn't see your face and see that you were laughing while you were telling that story, I probably would have believed it.
Babatunde, baby. Babatunde.
I used to work with a guy named Babatunde, and I always picture him when I hear Babatunde's name.
So this is the big thing on Raw, right? The underground gimmick?
Yes. Has it grabbed your big thing? It's grabbing a lot of big things.
No, I have zero. And I printed up all the results for all the shows that happened this week across wrestling, just so I kind of have an idea of what's going on. SummerSlam is Sunday. NXT is Saturday, so.
God, we got picks?
We don't necessarily need to make them tonight because we have to see what happens Wednesday with NXT what happens.
But we have to make picks.
Yes, but we do have to make picks.
SummerSlam card actually not looking too bad. Not going to lie, other than the Seth Rollins-Dominic nonsense.
Kev, really, can I ask a question? Do you know where SummerSlam is taking place?
The Amway food truck?
No! The Thunderdome!
Is that what they're calling it?
Oh,
it's the Kevin Thunderdome, baby!
I thought that was just like a... I'm there right now. Let me take a look at this.
Lasers and all kinds of good things. And virtual fans! You could sign up at like WWEThunderdome.com and sign up to be there, Kevin. That's you could fine. Be there virtually.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. I just thought...
Look, I'm laughing because it sounds silly, but it might surprise us.
No, it's going to be fine. It's just when they have a good idea, they just go ahead and just pick the most ridiculous thing to either call it or like... I don't know who's not in their PR department or their advertising team or their marketing team or whoever decided calling it Thunderdome was a good idea. I mean, I respect what they're trying to do, and it does make sense, and it'll probably look great.
But... So the word is tonight at some point during during Raw, dyslexia.
Raw, look free, hip it up, hip it down, hip it do, but Raw is like a thunder in your eye.
At some point during Raw tonight, they're going to officially announce it. And I guess the information is going to pop up on this website, but it's if anyone's interested, it's WWEThunderdome.com. So I'm curious. I want to see what it's like. Supposedly lasers and virtual fans and a roof. They were touting a roof. I don't know why they need a roof, but there you go. Oh, so God. Matt, I can't help but notice your excitement for the Thunderdome concept. Your thoughts.
I don't have any thoughts. First of all, I don't know what it is. So I'm really trying. I don't want to say something and then have it be like really cool. And then I have to eat my words. I do know that Vince McMahon has said that he feels like the ratings are down because the ambiance of the performance center is why people aren't watching, which
I stopped watching.
So you didn't stop watching because it was at the performance center, though. You stopped watching because it's fucking garbage because Akira Tozawa is running around with a bunch of fucking ninjas.
I love that. I'll tell you that right now.
And people are throwing bricks through a window.
Oh, I love it.
And then they throw a second brick through and it doesn't break anything. For what? I don't know. You got this Raw underground.
Can I read you some Kevin Dunn quotes real quick?
Please.
We're flying drones in the arena. We are putting a roof inside the Amway Center, and we'll be able to project content onto the roof. So when a big star like Drew McIntyre, had to mention his name, comes down to the ring, the whole arena will turn into his content with lasers, pyro, smoke, projections on top of the building and on the floor. It will be a big, beautiful entrance, better than WrestleMania. And he says, we won't have a flat board. We'll have rows and rows of fans. almost 1,000 LED boards, and it will recreate the arena experience you're used to seeing with the WWE. The atmosphere will be night and day from the Performance Center. Yeah, shit on that Performance Center, the place that you've been able to put on your show since COVID-19 attacked the country. But yeah, go ahead. Just bury your mistress that's been helping you out all this time.
Whatever. They're not burying the Performance Center. They're burying the aesthetics of the Performance Center when it comes to producing TV.
That's a dig to me.
And here's have you guys watched any of the NBA restart and how they've looked?
I've seen it on TV. It's cool, I guess. I hate what Fox is doing with the CGI fans. I think that's awful.
For baseball,
it's fucking atrocious.
Did you see one of the stadiums had the cutouts and they put in Bernie Lomax?
Oh, they're all putting in goofy things.
Which is fine. I think
that's fine.
That's
whatever. Right. Look, this get that. Like, this sounds like it's like we're gonna present something that's going to take away from what we're like. This Drew McIntyre Randy Orton thing. Randy Orton arguably might be the best heel in the history of professional wrestling.
Dude, he's climbing up to be like one of the best of
all
time.
Fucking unbelievable. And the shit with Ric Flair was awesome. But that's like, I'll give Dominic Mysterio credit. Like, that kid got the fucking ever-living piss beat out of him last week to start off Raw. And making it a street fight, I get it. You're just, you know, you're doing the old Paul Heyman. You're hiding what he's not good at. He's not ready to be a wrestler, so let's put him in a fight. I get it. But this, like, Thunderdome thing, I don't know, man. You're going to give us Thunderdome Friday night. You're going to give us Thunderdome Sunday for SummerSlam. Then guess what, Tony? The week after that, there's another fucking pay-per-view.
They're there until October, I believe.
What pay-per-view's after that?
Payback is a week after SummerSlam.
Dude, they're doing everything there.
How is that possible?
It's they're taping. They have a residency. Like, people have residencies in Vegas. They have a residency at this place. Whatever it is, they have a residency there now. At least October.
My question is, how is there a pay-per-view a week after a pay-per-view? In the same company.
Because the women have to defend the tag titles.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Payback. Payback is a week after SummerSlam.
Oh, mama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else I heard?
What'd you hear?
I heard Asuka's got two title matches on the pay-per-view Sunday.
She does. She's got a full day ahead of her. She won the Battle Royal Friday night. She threw out the Raw Underground fighter Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah.
She eliminated
who beat three women like 3 days earlier.
Yeah, but she can't. But you know what it was? They fucking put her in a ring with ropes on it, and that fucked Shayna all up. She's a underground fighter.
She was fucking lost, dude.
Yeah, fucked up the former NXT champion who won all her matches with rings with ropes.
That's a shame.
What are you gonna do? Raw Underground is the big gimmick here.
This Amway Center, this Thunderdome.
You're not in on Thunderdome
Sunday. Find out.
I mean, I don't know. I don't.
You
know
don't have to wait
yet,
till Sunday. You watch Friday night. SmackDown will be the first episode from the Thunderdome.
I guess I'll reserve my takes on it, but it just seems like it's all you had to do was upgrade from the Performance Center. That's all you had to do. But now it seems like you're gonna do like AEW is perfect the way they have their stuff set up. Like, it's absolutely perfect. That's all you need is basic. It looks good. Like, the Performance Center was terrible. I'm not gonna even pretend that it wasn't. Even for NXT, which has been there forever, Full Sail, whatever. But like, I feel like it's just too much. Even though, again, reserve my opinion until I see it.
I'm a man. Let's be real. I'm surprised that the WWE it's taken them this long to create virtual seats for virtual fans. I'm surprised. Would either of you, if you had the extra money, become a virtual fan?
How much does that cost?
No.
I'm gonna guess between $100 to $300.
What?
Yeah. No.
Like, if it went to a good cause, if it was for charity, maybe.
If it was like $25, I might do it just to get my dumb goofy LED ass on TV, because I think that'd be like a lark. But other than that, come on, dude, $100. What's the point of paying for the network? Oh, $100. Hey, you know what though? That's got potential, because they can't stop you from wearing shit, right? So yeah, like, we could have Shining Wizard shirts in the front row. We could pick up signs and stuff.
You know,
right?
They're gonna make you pay extra to be close to the ring, and they control what they shoot. So you could wear a fucking gorilla suit, and if they don't want to put the camera on your dumb virtual face, they're not going to.
Then yeah, I don't
That's
know.
That's the thing. There's nothing guaranteed. Like the cardboard cutouts at like baseball stadiums. Like, you could fucking buy one, but guess what, Bill? If it ain't right behind home plate, no one's going to see your dumb face on a piece of cardboard.
You know what I will do, though? Because you know who's going to be there on November 7th? Mark Anthony. So maybe I'll get a cardboard cutout of my face at a Mark Anthony concert at the Amway Center.
I don't think that's going to be happening, my friend. I think that'll be a WWE residency till the end of the year.
Matt! It's the Thunderdome, man.
Sorry.
Mark Anthony's in the Thunderdome.
My apologies, the Thunderdome.
Mark Anthony. And I feel it. Cannot see it. All that you feel speak to me in the Thunderdome.
I really can't wait to see, like, these drones start crashing into things and, like, the LED lights aren't working. It's going to be a scene, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I feel it.
You
can see it.
Look, I'll check it out.
Can you speak to me?
Janet Jackson.
And I'm going to kick the shit out of the two of you this weekend on the pay-per-view pick, so that's what I'm going to watch.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, here we go, baby. Here we go, baby.
I'd be a virtual fan for Janet Jackson.
You nasty.
That's right. That's right. You're damn right. I'm trying to find pictures of this place. It looks like it's just like a regular concert venue.
It's where the Orlando Magic play.
No.
It's the fucking bad. It's a basketball arena.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
They're going to put a roof on it to put holograms of Drew Galloway.
All right. All right. That makes. All right. I can get down with this then. I thought it was the smaller, like, I don't know, like a convention center type dealy. I didn't realize it was like that. I guess. Oh, man. All right, I can get down with that. I apologize to Mark Anthony for making fun of him for playing the Amway Center. All right.
So now that it's like a real sports arena, you're okay with the Thunderdome?
I give him a lot more respect for pulling the trigger on it.
That wasn't being used. The township Orlando was probably like, please, Vince, come do your shit here. Your product looks like garbage on TV.
That's fair. All right. Well, I'm thinking it's going to be a smaller place with all this stuff. Now that it's like a giant place, they could probably trick it out and make it look cool.
You trying to get back in that building, huh?
I'm trying to get my job back.
Oh, God. So, that's the big news today in WWE land, the Thunderdome.
Right.
I don't know. They passed a new thing at all their autographs and photo ops. They will not allow fans to touch the talent. Yes.
They're bringing these back?
Eventually, when this starts to happen again, they will
not. We're bringing pictures back. Yep.
We're not letting the fans touch the talent.
Yep.
Because there are fucking crazy people out there.
Yeah, and it's the same 20 pictures that they've been showing for the past like 5 years of people like groping like Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. Like, they didn't learn their lesson when these pictures first surfaced. And on top of that, Sonya Deville had an incident at her fucking house.
An incident? She's lucky she's not fucking dead.
I'm being nice about it. I mean, Jesus. But yes.
Well, that's the reason why they decided not to. They're just getting rid of this "you can fucking hug a wrestler" bullshit. Because there's fucking sick people like this in the world.
Well, listen, Sonya Deville turned on him.
You think she did?
Oh, well, come on. The guy was her biggest advocate, and then she turned on him, right, Tony?
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Tony's right. Yeah, a lot of people have turned on Tony. It's some fucking creepy shit, bro. He broke into our house at 2:45 in the morning, and they found him with a fucking
mace, zip ties.
Yeah, and a fucking razor blade, a knife, plastic zip ties, duct tape, mace, and other items, and told police he was planning to take the homeowner hostage.
Kenny hostage?
Yeah, Kenny hostage.
Like, of all the people, like, is Sonya Deville really the one that you want to mess with? Sonya Deville will beat your ass.
You know what? When she's asleep and she wakes up and this dude's got a knife to her neck, no one's beating anyone's ass.
That's a very good point.
That's true.
It's just weird.
Just fucking
like, you know she's like a badass. Like, you know she, like, when it, like, if you got into like a fight with her, like in like a Wendy's, she'd take you out.
Here's the thing. We know, right? Someone who's mentally like challenged or like has these illusions of grandeur and they think like I'll come to her defense on social media and she'll fall in love with me and we'll have a family together and whatever other craziness is going on here, like I don't know, man. It's fucking crazy.
But even you know, the fact that she's a woman aside, you can't tell me that even if somebody snuck into Braun Strowman's house and was trying to kidnap him or tie him up or do something diabolical to him and his family, God forbid, you can't tell me that wouldn't fucking rattle him a little bit, you know, as well, you know?
Of course. Look, and it's these
fucking creepy all the way around.
It rattles anyone. You, me, Sonya Deville, fucking John Jones, any MMA fighter. It's fucking scary. This dude, like, sat outside, cut a hole in her screen window and then sat on the patio for 4 hours and waited for her to go to bed until he broke in. Then the alarm went off and they saw him outside and they fucking split town. And he was like just found in the house when the cops got there. Like, that's crazy shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
That shit crazy.
I don't get it. What, he's gonna kidnap her and then what?
Well, Matt, this goes back to your whole point that wrestling fans are freaking creeps. they're creeps.
Holy shit. Well, it's the people like, look, I get it, man. Some of these women are, like, gorgeous. They're beautiful. I get it. But let's reality check. You fucking, like, trying to put them over on Twitter or them, like, responding to one of your 1 billion fucking creepy text messages that you put out on Twitter doesn't mean they like you. Like, stop. Like, there's people that follow us that are, like, really into, like, the women's wrestling. Like, it's borderline, like, you know, I want to say something. Like, you're a fucking ghoul. But
you just did, Matt.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations.
But the problem is that person won't know that I'm talking about them because they don't see.
All right, enough. Come on.
They don't see a problem with what they're doing. It's creepy.
Yeah, no shit, it's creepy.
And the women, they're also part to blame for this. Your fucking fans only bullshit, selling your 8x10s when you're half naked to some of these fucking guys. Knock it off. Put some clothes on, ladies. Let's go.
I'm not ready to go that far yet.
I mean, I do get Matt's point, though. It's, you know, when you put out bait, you have to be ready for what the bait's going to attract. You know what I'm saying?
It's like that with like everything. Like if you're like a ball player or a celebrity and you have like a cameo and you send a cameo to this guy because they paid, you know, $15, does that give you the right to go like, you know, stalk this guy after a game or something like that? Like,
nothing gives anybody the right to do any of this. I'm just saying, like, it's that double-edged sword. Like, women want to be treated like one way and they want to be respected, but then you go on her fans only page and, you know, her fucking butthole's hanging out. And if you pay $50, she'll show you a picture of her butthole. And you roll your eyes, but go look at
fans. I wasn't rolling my eyes.
Not you, Tony. You go look at some of those fans only pages. And with all due respect to Tammy, you know, some of that shit is.
How is this different than like legitimate, like adult actresses?
Because you're in, that's your.
And they get the same kind of thing.
But that's your line of work. When you're a professional wrestler, you're not a porn star. You're not. You shouldn't be showing your tits for money. I mean, like now, you're just taking advantage of fans.
Well, who's doing that? It's people that have been in the business that aren't anymore that found a new line of work.
If you have time, go down a fans only rabbit hole. You'll be surprised at the amount of people that have a fans only page.
Well, and I know Shelly does. I know. Actually, that's pretty much it. That's all I know, really. Maybe SoCal Val. Maybe
take a trip. It's and again, I'm not saying anyone deserves it. It's just you can't not. You're exploiting fans because they are lonely or horny and they want to see your tits. I mean, I get it. You got to make your bucks, but then something like this happens and everyone's like, oh my God, I never thought this would have happened. Of course you would. Go on social media. This kid's a psycho if you look at his Twitter.
And don't get me wrong. There's men that do it too. I'm not saying men are going around showing their buttholes or their tits or anything like that. However, you know, we've seen it over the years where guys have fans in the same position, buying ring gear, buying all the merch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, going to every show and hanging on everything that they say and do.
But I get what Matt's saying, but in no way it's not entrapment. It's not the women who have these things aren't doing anything wrong other than selling. That's their business, I guess.
Look, don't get business. Don't get it twisted. Like, no one deserves this. Not a single person deserves anything like this to ever happen to them. But when you put yourself out there in that situation, there's going to be people like this guy, and there's more people like this guy out there. A lot more. Well, you remember you remember the dude that had the shoot at the Performance Center?
Yeah, he showed up a few times.
There's sick people out there, and you let them in by doing stuff like this, and it's a lose-lose for everybody. Like, this poor Sonya Deville was just fucking, who knows, she was fucking binge-watching Netflix, and then some fucking dude breaks into her house? She doesn't deserve that.
See, I guess here's my thought, right? So, like, you look even at ring gear. Like, to me, if I see a fellow who looks particularly handsome, I'll say, wow, he looks good, but I don't know what sexy for a guy is to a woman. Like, if I see a woman wrestler, I'll be like, oh, that's a cute outfit. I like that design. Or like, oh, that's pretty sexy. You know, she pulls that off well. But if I look at like Seth Rollins, like, I'm like, I don't look at him like, wow, like his ass is sexy. Like, I don't know what that is to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
I think the point is being missed here. It doesn't matter what you do and what line of work you're in. Like, just this past weekend, a comedian was on stage. Big Jay Oakerson was on stage.
He got into a fight. You know the story behind that?
A fan ran up and yanked him off stage, and he got his ass beat for it. Like, it's the same kind of thing. In much less scale, but, like, you don't – because you choose to do what you do legally, lawfully, and – yeah, you're putting yourself out there to these people, but I know you're saying that no one deserves this, but I don't think it's anyone's fault for doing what they do to try to earn money. I mean, like, for Christ's sake, this is an extreme example, but I think does a prostitute deserve to get, you know, assaulted?
No, but nobody. I think I missed the mark with my statement. I cannot reiterate this enough. Nobody deserves, and you don't deserve to get assaulted. You don't deserve to get raped. You don't deserve to have somebody punch you in the. I mean, some people deserve to get punched in the fucking face, but those are people that have big mouths. But no, none of it is. You're not asking for it. If you do, but you have to understand that you open that door, and I know Sonya Deville didn't have a fans only or whatever the fuck it's called, but there's people out there who don't. Like, I think. I don't see it like I don't like. Oh, she has a fans only. I'm married. I don't want to see another girl's fucking pussy.
Oh, come on, dude.
What? I don't. I'm happily married.
I want to see it all. I want to see other dicks. I want to see other pussies. I want.
I went through all that in my early 20s, man. I had the internet, and
I want to see it up close, like right next to me. But I ain't shying away from anything. Come on, now.
I'm just saying. It's like, for me, it's like fans only, whatever. But then, like, you look at these poor, lonely wrestling fans or these demented ones.
Not mutually exclusive, by the way.
Right. Who think like, oh, I'm going to pay and she's going to be like really nice to me. It's like going to the strip club. Like you have that one friend who always thinks like, oh, dude, she really likes me if I keep giving her money. And you're like, no, stupid. She's just doing her fucking job and she sees you as a mark. She's going to take all your money and then you're going to go home smelling like a hooker, a stripper, and you're just going to be lonely. But then there's like one dude who like waits outside and then throws her in his fucking trunk and calls it a day. He's like, oh, she liked me.
When I used to go to Hooters, like with like a bunch of buddies, like in the early 20s, like I was that asshole. I was that jerk that thought that the waitress really like dug me. I had that much confidence and that big of an ego where like, oh, the Hooters waitress loves me. Try to get her number. Nope. Like, and it's so in that respect, it's kind of funny, but nothing is funny about anything. I was that jerk that went to Hooters thinking that I had a shot with the waitress.
Yeah, end of the day, this is creepy, scary shit, you know, and no one deserves to be subject to this. And
shouldn't happen to anybody. In any
happened to me a couple times, guys.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of crazy fans come after me.
Yeah?
To be shocked. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't tell it on the air, but.
Huh. Like West Orange locals?
Oh, lots of ladies.
Do you see less of it now that you're not the champ?
Well, I'm still the comedic champ of this. I'm still the prince. Oh yeah.
The prince of what?
Of Wotown.
And wait, who's the king?
Well, I mean, it's hard to take the crown from Big Rich.
Big Rich is the king of West Orange?
I mean, I think I'm.
I would argue that in court that you deserve the mayor.
Well, I think prince is a nicer title. Like people want to like. They flock to the prince, like, because you have a future, and you're the present, but you got a future in this business, kid. So I like the prince. I'm the prince of West Orange because I'm still young.
It's not because Brian Myers calls himself the prince of Queens.
No, I didn't get. Listen, I didn't give myself this nickname. It was given to me long ago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And not like prince, like Purple Rain prince. Although there's nothing wrong with that.
When it purple rains, it pours.
Nothing wrong with what?
Being called prince, like just prince. Wait. Prince is pretty badass.
All right, because you said not that there's anything wrong with that. I thought you were insinuating something about the purple one.
Is that what called? The purple one.
Yeah,
he's flamboyant.
He's also not Velveteen Dream. He's a fucking kid toucher. So
how the fuck is he back on my
television? Allegedly, let's throw that out there. Allegedly,
how
I learned
is he
that
back
from
on
Colt Cabana
TV?
Tonight.
And then they fucking got rid of Jack Gallagher. Like, what was the difference in those stories?
I don't
refresh
know, man.
My memory.
I can't follow. Jack Gallagher's beating up people. He's taking his dick out at New Year's Eve parties. He's forcing it into women's underoos.
Made a living doing that. Oh, by the way,
I gotta address the people in the hot mic real quick. No, the Prince of West Orange is not because of Brian Myers. It's not. I was called the Prince of West Orange when I started running every single comedy show that existed in this town. So that's why I'm the Prince of West Orange, because I was very socially active in the community and in the town. So that's why they call me the Prince of West Orange, and because I've never left.
So Tony,
in local news today, something happened in Newark.
No. What were you saying about?
I forgot. Something happened in West Orange.
No, nothing happened in West Orange.
That's right. That's why I forgot.
All right. So we got that going on there. WWE added all the independent stuff to the network. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet because I've been stuck in 2001, and I'm enjoying that very much. But
oh, let's dive down that.
You want to?
Oh, yeah.
Well, right now on the network, they just added Evolve, WXW, Progress, ICW, and then they did a Best of Drew McIntyre and Evolve, Best of Keith Lee and Evolve, ICW Shug Hose Party 5 Night 2, XWX Female Fatales 2019, Progress Wrestling Champion Chapter 92. Wow, I can't read.
I thought you were watching wrestling from 2001. That's what I wanted to dive
Yes,
into.
I am, but I wanted to finish this WWE Network thing. And a lot of this stuff features Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Roderick Strong, Tommy End, who is Aleister Black, Matt Riddle, Tim Thatcher, Walter, Donovan Dijak, who is now oh my God, I'm dying. I'm having a stroke.
Dominic Dijakovic.
Thank you. Hopefully, Kevin, hopefully they add some of those Evolve shows that you and me were at, and then we will be on the WWE Network.
What are the odds of that happening? I think that's real?
Well, I mean, they own the library, so why wouldn't you put up like Johnny Gargano against Roderick Strong? Because that was the match that happened when we were all around the ring.
Yeah, Kevin.
Oh, I was thinking of the one where like Johnny Gargano was doing like a signing, and we didn't go up to say hello to him.
Oh, that was recent.
Okay, so that was when Gargano was already with
WWE. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they own the whole library now, so it'd be silly for them not to put all the shit up there. To go back to your 2001, Kevin, I just finished Backlash. All right, and then today we watched a Raw and a SmackDown, and then we had to go to England for Insurrection.
I watched that too recently.
So Chris Benoit has Kurt Angle's
most random match on that card, that Insurrection card.
I think the opener was Brian Christopher against Eddie Guerrero. And then Big Show called out Test, but Test was hurt, but Test came out. And then as he was leaving, Bradshaw came out. And then Bradshaw beat up Big Show. And then with the help of Test, they pinned him. There was like a four-team tag team turmoil match. Benoit and Angle in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Jericho wrestled Regal for some cup.
I was way off. I was thinking of a different Insurrection.
Yeah, no, we're in 2001. It was Undertaker against Triple H and Stone Cold in the main event. Handicap match. Linda McMahon, this Vince McMahon thing. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm enjoying 2001. I love fucking Limp Bizkit's rolling. Tony, what are you doing over there? Tony's rolling.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
He's rolling. So Chris Benoit stole Kurt Angle's medals.
I remember.
He's got them. There's still this.
Out of pants. We could have used some fucking Yabba Dabba Doo dick twisting.
Right? If only Yabba Dabba Doo had a fucking time machine.
If only Kevin Von Erich was in Hawaii at that point in his life.
I mean,
could have taught some Kurt Angle some fucking some dick twisting moves.
I'm sure he was.
Nah, he wasn't in Hawaii at that point, was he? I thought he was in Israel at that point.
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to look up Kevin Von Erich's timeline. So yeah, that was my 2001. Kevin.
How did this get back to Kevin Von Erich?
Everything always comes back to Kevin Von Erich. Come on,
Chris Benoit, when he stole fucking Kurt Angle's medals, he stuck them down his drawers. You don't remember this? I thought you were a Chris Benoit fan. Oh no, Kevin hates Chris Benoit now. Matt's the Chris Benoit fan. I'm sorry. Different little blonde Canadian guys.
First of all, I've always been a Chris Benoit fan. Secondly, what other little blonde guys are you talking about?
Fuck, I wish I had the music queued up. Owen Hart, dude.
Oh. Owen Hart. Yeah. Talking about Owen Hart. He worked so hard, and then he fell so far.
We got the NWA Women's Champion joining us in about 20 minutes.
From the start. Yeah, we miss you, Owen Hart.
It was a bad idea from the start. Thunder Rosa says, okay, great. Okay. Kevin, big night for you Tuesday. Brian Myers finally gets in the ring and has answers Eddie Edwards' open challenge on Impact.
Sorry, who?
Brian Myers.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with his work.
He's the Prince of Queens, formerly Kurt Hawkins in the WWE. You might know him as one half of the major wrestling figure podcast available.
You're talking about the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers.
Oh, is that his new gimmick now? I didn't see Impact, so I don't know.
Yeah, I watched it all. I loved it.
I saw the highlights. He challenged Eddie Edwards for the Impact Championship. You want to guess the outcome, Matt?
I know he caught the Boston Knee Party.
And do you know what happened after that?
He lost.
You know what that makes him?
Kevin, do you want to answer that?
No, I'm not going to answer that. All right,
I'm going to say that makes him a fucking loser.
Correct! Ding!
Well, I'll tell you this. Dude made a lot of money being a loser.
Here's my question, though. In all seriousness, Kevin, maybe because you've been watching Impact the last couple weeks again, you're killing it on the Twitter. So props to you on that. I just don't. So he's getting these vignette packages and then he comes in and he loses the open challenge. So where do you go from here with him?
Well, that I don't know.
Or was this just like a one-off?
That I don't know either.
Okay.
But I like the idea of doing it. It's a swerve, bro. I love the idea of doing it when it happened, because everyone Eddie Edwards challenges.
So glad we have an interview to do 20 minutes.
Get it all out of our systems now. Don't act like you're fucking Mr. Perfect over there, Tony.
Dun, dun,
sorry, Kevin. Dun, I don't dun. I don't like when he just unnecessarily shits on us.
Unnecessarily? Yeah. Quite.
Eddie Edwards makes the open challenge. Not the open challenge. He specifically challenges Eric Young. And then, pause. And all of a sudden you hear Brian Myers, brand new theme music, called Enjoy the Ride. So he comes out, makes a challenge. I'm not going to say he's the greatest promo in the world. But he got the job done and had a great match. And Eddie Edwards, I don't think anyone expected Brian to win right away. I don't think he'll ever win the Impact Championship. To me, I think he'll win another WWE title before he wins an Impact title because, Retribution and all. Still sticking to my guns with that theory.
All right. You think he's part of Retribution?
I do.
All right. We are heading towards Emergence, which is happening the next 2 weeks on Impact, and there's a lot of big matches happening there. Just a quick rundown of Impact. Eric Young defeated Willie Mack. So they're really pushing this Eric Young thing. And he interrupted Rich Swann's retirement speech 2 weeks ago. He beat dog tar out of him there. This Good Brothers versus Ace Austin Madman Fulton thing is still going on. Fill us in on Wrestle House, Kevin, because this sounds like the craziest shit. They have matches during Wrestle House?
Match time! It's so silly, but it's so charming. It's insane. They had a match over Sue Young, having a disagreement over something with Taya Valkyrie about something so silly about, and then Tommy Dreamer just pops right in with his old hair slicked back with his little sports coat on saying match time. It's just a lot, Crazy Steve is there. Johnny Swinger, who's hysterical. Johnny Bravo was a big part of the storyline with Taya and Rosemary about telling somebody something it's like Big Brother,
right?
Full House. And it's, I can't go tell you every story verbatim 7 days ago, but it's fun, man. And it's super charming. Kylie Rae is great in it. Smiley Kylie is fantastic in everything. Everyone, Ace Romero's there. Big time, big Ace Romero. He lost a lot of weight, but they're still a couple of weeks back. So
it looked like they had two matches. Larry D defeated Ace Romero in the Wrestle House, and then Susie and Cousin Jake went on a date.
Oh yeah. See, that's fun. I think Larry D and Ace Romero were tag team partners, and they got into a match over a seat on the couch. So someone didn't like where someone was sitting or something like that. And then they got into a match about it, which is, again, it's not going to win any awards, but I think it's the most charming thing on TV right now when it comes to wrestling. So,
yeah, and then the other match, Susie and Jake ended their really awkward date with Jake provoking Sue Young to come out. And then Tony's favorite girl, Alicia Edwards, asked if she had done everything she told her for the date, but Susie said she had said her advice was bad, and this led to a match where Susie defeated Alicia.
That's what it was. That's
what did Alicia tell Susie to do on the date?
You know what? Twitch was really being stubborn on this past Tuesday, and I even tweeted about it. I was watching everything in bits and pieces, so I didn't really catch everything, but this is what I meant with Susie and Alicia getting into a match over advice being bad. So it's
something different. Awesome. The Wrestle House is something different. So that's interesting stuff. Emergence looks like it's shaping up to be quite the show this week. The next 2 weeks, Eddie Edwards will still defend his Impact Championship in the Open Challenge. Kylie Rae against Taya Valkyrie in a Wrestle House match. Moose against Trey Miguel for the TNA World Championship.
Moose.
Three-way match for the X Division title. Chris Bay against TJP and Rohit Raji. The Good Brothers against Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. The Motor City Machine Guns against the North. And on the second night of Emergence, a 30-man Iron Man match for the Impact Knockouts title with Deonna Purrazzo defending against Jordan Grace.
Okay, you said 30-man. I'm sorry,
30-minute. 30-minute.
An Iron Man match with 30 men? Yikes. No, it could be men, women, whatever. 30 of anything is not good in wrestling.
Oh, and I did enjoy I saw the Rob Van Dam, Katie Forbes thing with Madison Rain, where they beat up Sammy Callahan. Because Sammy put his head all on all of Katie Forbes' pictures. So I thought that was pretty funny.
And then there was another segment where I think Callahan was supposed to accept an open challenge and RVD beat the crap out of him right on, I'm not sure if that was last week or the week before, but just beat the shit out of him. And Katie Forbes came from Torque City and just twerked on that head.
Torque City, USA, baby.
Fucking right. Twerking is the most fucking god awful garbage invention in the history of mankind.
Not when Katie Forbes does it. She's crazy.
I don't care if Mary fucking buries Jesus and fucking blows a kiss to Joseph, and then she starts twerking in a fucking thong with a 39-inch waist or ass or whatever. It's fucking horrid. Twerking is the worst fucking thing ever. Ever, ever, ever. Worse than motorboating. Worse than anything else you could possibly imagine that silly fucking college boys think of.
Nah, man, you don't got your pulse on the radar, kid.
Let's ask you this, Tony. Since I already talked about it Wednesday night, twerking worse than the finish to the Jericho Orange Cassidy match.
Yes, yes, and that was bad. Holy fuck, was that bad? Wait, fill you leave with that and you fucking walk away, you prick.
No, you got to fill me in because I didn't see it.
Okay, so I'll give you a backstory real quick, and I just found this out yesterday or was it today? I didn't watch Dark last week, but I think this match took place on Dark. Orange Cassidy wrestled, I want to say it was Serpentico. He's the dude with the mask, right? I think so.
Is that the one that like kept throwing like fake punches at his head and he got on like Botchamania?
No, I think that guy got fired. There was actually a little clip that they did where they got rid of that guy. I don't think it's the same guy, but excuse me, Jesus. Anyway, so the mousetrap that Taz was touting that Orange Cassidy put on Jericho, was properly done to Serpentico. And what it is he grabs him for a Russian leg sweep. And instead of taking him back with it, he almost goes into like a stroke. But the way he does it is he rolls him up and it's almost like a magistral cradle where he's got everything hooked up, tied up, gripped on. It looks beautifully when it's done correct. What he did with Jericho, he took Jericho back and Jericho just kind of stutter stepped and they fell to the side. And it literally was like a half a fucking like small package. And Jericho had no fucking reason to not kick out. And he just fucking laid there. It was bad. It was really bad. And there were a lot of points in that match that were fucking awful. Like, guys, if you're going to throw a dragon screw leg whip, know which fucking direction you have to go. There's no reason at this stage in the game that everybody goes a different direction. It looks horrible and it's fucking terrible.
I feel like I've seen that so many times.
But it should be happening on fucking AEW Dynamite where you're wrestling the former world champion. You know what I'm saying? And if I had to do it, I wouldn't know which way to go either. I wouldn't fucking do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would not do something I couldn't do. I've thrown drop kicks before. You think I'm going to fucking pull one out if I haven't done one in 6 months? Hell fucking no. Are you crazy? Why would you even do that shit? But the fucking ending to that match was it took the fucking wind out of the sails. I'm like, oh, great. Fucking Orange Cassidy beat Chris Jericho, who didn't feel like kicking out of a fucking pinning combination.
So
Orange
Cassidy beat Jericho?
Yes, he did. Spoilers. Sorry. You should have watched it 5 days ago.
No, it's fine. I didn't watch a lot of Impact. I mean, Impact, AEW. I got to, what did I get to? I think it was like the Bucks, Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, okay. That segment was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
That was an excellent segment.
I'm a little surprised that Matt mentioned Marty's name. Because Sean, because that was that, that was right around the time when Marty was in his glory, right?
It was right around. I mean, who knows? I mean, nothing came of it, so I'm sure Marty was just, you know, telling tall tales to get his name back out there again. Tony, anything else that you liked or disliked from Dynamite?
When did Phoenix wrestle? Was that on Dark?
That was Dark.
Did you see La Cucaracha coming out to support Phoenix?
Jesus, dude.
Come on, dude. Look, I'm not trying to make it a thing, but don't you think that was a little fucking weird?
The NWA World Champion, Women's World Champion, Thunder Rosa joins us in 7 minutes. She also just happens to be, you know.
I can't wait to talk to her. I cannot.
Maybe you could bring up La Cucaracha with her, and then that interview will end.
Come on, dude. Come on. That was not funny. You're laughing. I
what,
see you fucking
What was
laughing.
Funny? I didn't even notice. I don't, I'm not watching the outside of the ring during a match. I was more pissed.
I wouldn't have noticed it either. Watch Botchamania, dude.
I don't watch Botchamania. I was more annoyed at the fucking punches Phoenix was throwing that weren't landing on the dude's head.
Gives a shit.
That's what I was talking about. That, there it is. That's what it was.
I mean, look, if you're going to close up, you got to know. You got to know. What would you rather watch? A night of wrestling where it's close-up shots with missed punches, or the nauseating roller coaster that is the WWE, camera people?
That's fucking bad, dude. That's fucking bad.
So that's it, Tony? That's it? That's all you took away from Dynamite? You hated the finish, and there was a cockroach on Dark.
I liked Matt Hardy's little promo and beating up Mike Posey thinking he was Sammy Guevara. I like that they're going with that, even though Sammy Guevara is a little kind of a little POS for throwing that chair at Matt Hardy, being careless as all hell.
It's not ballerina.
Yeah, Matt, he should have his fucking hands up. That's his fault. Fuck him.
No, it's not, because he didn't. You can't have your hands up if you don't know what's coming.
Oh, he knew it was coming. They had a gimmick chair. He didn't know he was going to throw a chair at him.
It wasn't a gimmick chair. From what I understand, it wasn't a gimmick chair.
But the story was there was a gimmick chair, so Matt should have been fucking ready for it.
I don't know. I don't. From I've read, like, I don't know. I don't remember what I said last week, but from what I've followed up with, this was completely careless on Guevara. Completely. 100% his fault.
Were you excited to see Mike Chioda?
No, but I was excited to see that brand new beautiful belt.
Yeah, the belt looks a million times better. Well, a million times better.
They finally finished it. I was happy to see Mike Chioda.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I was like, holy shit, Mike Chioda's on AEW. It's like, you know, it's Mike.
Mike Chioda.
But you're in on...
Kiota.
You're my in on the TNT championship.
Super tan. My hands got a super tan. My Kiota. Super tan. My man's got a super tan. My Kiota.
So you're in on the new title.
Love it.
It's cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Matt, you disagree?
No, I'm not the belt mark. It's the title. I'm like, whatever. It looks good.
Yeah, all right, here's what I fucking hate about this belt. Now,
God.
Belt. I know why you did this, you prick. I know why you did this. Stop hiding your face.
Oh, I can't.
Not me, Kevin. Not you, Kevin. Me.
No, I know you, but I want to get another drink so I can sit and watch this.
Well, fucking go get a drink. You got 4 minutes. God help you if you get up when the NWA World's Women's Champion is on the line. I'll fucking choke both of yous. He fucking gets this brand new fucking, it's finished, look at this, la la la, it shines, it's pretty, and then we get the fucking fake belt idiots up on the stage going, hey, look at this, I got the red belt, another fucking phony championship piece of shit. Really? Now we got fucking two fake titles in fucking AEW? Seriously? This is all we do now? Hey, we got this belt back here. Can we do something with it? Yeah, sure. Here's a great idea. Shit all over Cody Rhodes while he fucking shows the new belt off and show him the old belt and tell him he's a piece of shit and you're going to give it back to him when you take his new belt from him. Really? Really? Matt, I ask you. Really? Really?
So you don't like the story?
No! It's fucking stupid.
All right.
This is fucking... Oprah Winfrey booking fucking AEW, dude. You get a belt, and you get a belt, and you get a belt. Next thing you know, the entire Dark Order is going to come out with fucking belts on.
They should. Like,
look, we're all champs. Look at us. And every fucking match is going to be a title match for a belt that doesn't mean shit. And Taz, some shit on fucking Twitter asking about, like, should a belt have a prestige because it's been defended so many times, or where it's been defended, or who's held it before. Yeah, all those are true. You know what's false? Handing somebody a fake belt that says FTR or whatever the fuck it says. FTW. Fucking stop with the fake belt bullshit. You're a year old company. You shouldn't have fucking more than three belts, let alone fake belts. Come on.
Everyone's doing it. Tony, everybody's doing it. Impact's doing it. WWE's doing it.
What is it? Fucking grab them cakes?
Just grab them cakes.
Impact, I will forgive them because they had a legitimate reason, because their world champion was being an asshole and fucking commandeering and fucking sabotaging the advancement of the company, their storylines, and their entire fucking business. That I understand. I'll get to your question. Give me 1 second.
I understand.
Apollo Crews was fucking with MVP because MVP was like, you didn't fucking defend the belt, so I'm keeping the new belt. And what did Apollo Crews do? He beat MVP, and he said, I'm giving this belt to my kid. And that was that. Right?
I don't know. Is that what happened?
Nonsense. Yeah. What is this nonsense?
So wait, who's the U.S. champion?
What?
Who's the U.S. champ?
Apollo Crews.
But MVP, once MVP like kind of took it upon himself to crown himself the champ, he brought that the new belt in.
Right.
Apollo Crews still had the old belt.
And Apollo Crews couldn't defend the title because of COVID reasons or something like that.
Right.
MVP walked around with the new belt. Apollo came back with the old belt. And when Apollo beat MVP in their title match, they got rid of the old belt. And that was it. That's the story.
Okay. So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Brody Lee just used the belt for the promo. I don't really think he's parading around as the second coming of the TNT champion.
That was actually going to be my question. Is the belt the focal point of the story? It's not, right?
Well, he says that he's going to challenge him, and when he beats him, he's going to give him this belt so he could parade around and still pretend he's a champion or some nonsense. Why? Why?
Because that's a heel move. You think he's really going to give him the belt, and Cody's going to be like, oh, I lost, but I'll take this hand-me-down? No!
You can't just say, like, oh, it's a heel move. Like Randy Orton did nasty things to Kelly's personal property. You can't go, well, he's a heel. Like, come on,
in
dude.
The story,
not on TV.
In the story they're telling, what makes you hate somebody more? And they go, when I beat you, I'll give you this title that means nothing, so you feel like you're a winner.
You know what hates them more? When you take the actual title that you just won and you go, ha, loser, you have nothing because you're a loser now. That's more than going, here, buddy, have a consolation prize.
What if it's mind games?
What if when Kate beat Kevin 2 weeks ago, she said, here you go, Kevin. Here's another little title for you to have. You could be
champ. Here's the difference, though. I already had the title. I never lost. So that's a completely moot point. But I will say this. Brody Lee's promo was probably the best he's cut since I've seen him in AEW. That promo was awesome.
Yeah, because he had a belt that he thought was like the greatest things in sliced bread, like Jillian Hall and it's a fake belt.
Well, it's a fake belt. So Tony, if people get mad at real belts being props, if a fake belt is a prop, is that big of an issue?
Yes. It's a million times worse.
Oh God.
It's a million times worse.
You're the worst. Tony, you're the worst.
I'm not the worst. If he would have stole the new belt from Cody and said, you're not getting it back until you give me a legitimate title match, that I can understand.
I think you would have had a problem with that too.
This is phony baloney nonsense, dude. It's phony baloney nonsense.
Phony but Tony.
You're clever. You're a clever one, you Mr. Garifo.
There's a shirt.
Clever Garifo. There you go. You're doing phony but Tony. What was it? I even forgot it. It was too good.
Tony phony? Tony phony but Tony?
Something like that, whatever.
Joey Fatone?
Well, they're gonna have a match on Saturday because of the NBA playoffs. AEW is preempted to a Saturday show at 6:00, so Brody Lee is going to challenge Cody for the TNT Championship. Plus, Darby Allin will be in action. The Elite, Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega will face the Dark Order, Alex Reynolds, Allen Angels, and John Silver. If you're not watching Being the Elite, John Silver and Alec Reynolds are the best fucking part of Being the Elite. The episode today was fucking hysterical.
Yes, Alec Reynolds is very good.
Alex, I'm going to motherfucking kick you in the bob. I'm coming to fucking Studio A next week. That's where I'm doing the show from, whether you like it or not.
Bobbing and a weaving. You ain't hitting me.
I'm going to fucking kick you right in your I'm going to grab you by the nuts.
Like, you're not stealing my Zicky Dice TV shirt either.
Like Copa Cabo or whatever his fucking Dabadoo, whatever his name is.
Dabadoo! It's John Spencer. Dabadoo.
Saturday night, FTR will face Private Party. There's an 8-man tag match. The Lucha Brothers and the Butcher and the Blade face Jurassic Express and the Natural Nightmares. And we will have the finals of the first ever Women's Tag Team Cup.
Yay!
So what's going on with that?
Appreciation night on Saturday. Woo!
The semifinals should be over by now, and we should know who the final two teams are.
Are they the Sami Callihan finals or the Sami Zayn finals?
I'm going to fucking kick you.
No.
See, here's what's happening, Kevin. Tony's been listening to a lot of the Front Row Material podcasts, so Mikey specifically beats the ever living shit out of Mike Freeland every minute he has a chance, and then Jerry Lynn occasionally chimes in. So Tony wants to do the Mikey Whipwreck thing where he beats up on me, because he's
but it wasn't even like that was a stretch of a pun at wasn't even that great.
You know what? I am going to give you no quarter on any of your puns from now on, Mr. Garifo Big Shot.
No quarter.
But, Tony, semi, like, come on.
He said semi.
No, he didn't.
He did.
If you go had back and
with,
listen.
Like a semi am type deal, then I would have been on board with it. But semifinals,
are the four teams that are in the semifinals. Big Swole and Little Swole, they're taking on the Nightmare Sisters. And right. Ivelisse and Diamante are taking on Tay Conti and Anna Jay.
So it's going to be Ivelisse and Diamante against the Nightmare Sisters in the final. Is that what we're looking at here?
Well, I mean, it's over and done with. So the show started at 7. So if you really wanted to look up the results, you could.
Who are the Nightmare Sisters facing?
Big Swole and Little Swole.
Okay, never mind that. Yeah, Tony probably got it right.
See, I'm going the flip of Tony. I'm going Big Swole, Little Swole, and Tay Conte and Anna Jay.
Really?
Anna Jay's in the Dark Order, right?
Yep.
Yes. Have you missed the entire purpose of this tournament?
I think this is where you see the Nightmare Sisters break up. They don't get to the finals.
Really? Oh, God.
That's what I'm calling.
Then we're going to get the two of them in like matches?
Against each other? Probably. They're...
God, this is going to be like Nakazawa Jezelnik bad, dude. Jeez, come on.
Anthony Jezelnik?
Whatever the dude's name was from the video game thing. Jablonski, Jablomi, what was his name?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know what you did. They did it for, Fight for the Fallen?
Whatever the very first match in AEW history was, and people were like,
was Pat McAfee in that?
No, he was too busy cleaning viruses out of computers in the back office.
Oh, God, Tony. We try to give you something, and you just ruin it. You're like the Thunderdome.
I don't get it.
Because you go too far when you don't have to. All right, radio silence.
There we go.
Matt Cardona's finisher.
Ugh.
Alex Jabali. It wasn't Jablonski, it was Jabali.
You said Jesselnik.
Whatever, you know who I meant.
No, I didn't. When you said Jeselnik, I thought you meant the comedian Anthony Jeselnik.
No, I meant Anthony Jablonski, whatever his name, whatever. I forgot his name already, Jabali.
John Jablonski, walk on from Seton Hall University?
I graduated from Seton Hall with him. Don't talk shit about my man.
I love John Jablonski. He got the biggest, talk about pops. Every time he saw the court, we were at the game, we were like six rows up, biggest pop in the entire Meadowlands Arena when he got in that game.
He's coaching prep, isn't he?
Don't know.
I thought he was a coach at prep now.
It's possible.
Matt, sorry, and to fill everybody else in, Jablonski was a walk-on player for Seton Hall, who was just
back in like the early 90s.
Yep. Well, yeah. No, not early. Well, probably 93. Yeah, because that was during my time at Hall. So yeah, and
that's early 90s.
I know what you're talking about because I think I was I was at quite a few games when they put him in and the crowd would go nuts for him.
Because they'd either be up a lot and they didn't need him, or they'd be in like super super foul trouble and he'd come in. Like there were some games where he would like drill a couple three because he was a decent 3-point shooter. He was a short little guy too.
And they put him in, he took over. Like he took like the lead role, like bringing the ball down, pointing things out, getting guys set up.
Yeah, like he was their Danny Hurley ish era.
Yeah.
I love that, man. I love going to Seton Hall. We are way off the tracks, but I love going to Seton Hall basketball games. Used to have season tickets up until they moved to Newark.
Yeah. Going to Newark, it's just not the same. I've been to a few games in Newark. It's not the same.
Dude, the Brendan Byrne, the Meadowlands, once it stopped, what did it go from Brendan Byrne to, what was the one to see?
Continental.
Continental Airlines, yeah.
And then it became Izod, and then it became. Yeah. What else we got, Matt?
AEW released three members of the roster.
Now, from what I was reading, these are all people from across the pond, so there's possibilities they might be back.
Well, I don't think Jimmy Havoc's coming back.
Yeah, he could have lived in Jacksonville when he wasn't coming back.
Wait, where was he living when he had that fight with Mansur? I guess that was Florida, no?
It's a good question.
I was just making a reference just because he was involved in nonsense.
So they released Jimmy Havoc, and he was accused of sexual assault and all that stuff. So rape and abusive behavior. So there's a good chance that he will not be back with the company. Bea Priestley is overseas, and then Sadie Gibbs is the same way. So who knows with those ladies. So there's that. The other schedule changes that are happening with Dynamite now, because of the playoffs, Wednesday, August 26th episode will air on Thursday, August 27th at 8 p.m.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Well, let me ask you this. Will the AEW Dynamite postgame show be following the AEW Dynamite episodes that are moving around?
We are working on a couple different things. Saturday night will not happen. There will not be a post show Saturday night, but we're working on something for Sunday possibly.
Okay.
But nothing set in stone. But we're going to work with, you know, everyone's schedule. So usually Wednesday night is when it's blocked off. But, you know, things happen, and they're moving things around. So it looks like there's only a couple small changes to the Dynamite schedule, so that's nice.
I don't want to sound like I'm putting over the Wednesday crew, but I do enjoy listening to the show, so I would hope that you guys can put it out. Just for being selfish, because I do want to listen to it.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
You know, there is a Wednesday show running on this coming Wednesday, so...
Is there? Yeah,
maybe an NXT post-game show.
Really?
Throwing that out there. I mean, it's Wednesday. Oh. They're not taking off for the NBA.
Well, wow. Kevin's got a new MacBook. Kevin's got some GarageBand software and some Skype.
I do have some GarageBand software. And Skype.
He's also got the butt.
Do I have the butt? I don't have the butt yet.
We can get you the butt.
Oh, this Everybody ought to be, should have this the butt. Ought to be entertaining as fuck. Way... Oh. To bite off more than you could chew, assuming Kevin was assuming Tony was going to be in for an NXT post show.
No. I was maybe with one of you guys is what I was getting at.
Ah, see, I'm out. I'm not part of Team NXT. I'm Team AEW. That's my Wednesday night spot.
I'm sure Can You Beat That Champion Kate the Great wouldn't mind watching NXT this week and joining you for a little fun ski.
What?
Oh!
But Tony,
Maybe the AOP. Maybe they're going to watch NXT. They could be the AOP of the NXT this week.
NXT already has AOP.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't do it yet. I'm not ready yet.
Maybe Ryan Van Winkle can join you. He'll be sleeping through the whole episode anyway.
I need T-Donk with me for this adventure.
Instant, just assuming. Oh, fantastic. I love it. I love watching you squirm.
Oh, okay. Listen, I'm a squirmy wormy, baby.
Don't point at me, Tony. Don't be rude. There was a little miscommunication with Thunder Rosa. She will be joining us at 9 o'clock. So just bear with us. If you're tuning in to listen to Thunder Rosa, it was pushed back to 9. She'll close out the show. I want to talk a little New Japan and some ROH. Then let's get into some games before Thunder Rosa calls. Ring of Honor is coming back to TV. We talked about it last Monday. They're doing all their tapings this weekend in Baltimore, and they're going to crown the first, not the first ever, but they're bringing back the pure title. So they announced today 10 of the 16 participants, and you will see Rocky Romero, PJ Black, Tony Deppen, Jay Lethal, Jonathan Gresham, Matt Sydal, David Finley, Tracy Williams, Josh Woods, and the debuting Wheeler Yuta. So that is 10 of the 16. The rules for the pure matches are this. Every match begins and ends with the Code of Honor handshake. Each wrestler has 3 rope breaks to stop submission holds and pinfalls. After a wrestler exhausts his rope break, submission, and pin attempts, on or under the ropes by his opponent are legal. So if you use 3 rope breaks, then any use of the ropes after that is legal. Closed fist punches to the face are not permitted. There will be a 20 count. Outside interference will result in automatic termination from the roster for the wrestler that interferes. There will be 2 blocks, single elimination format. Round 1, 15-minute time limit. Semifinals, 20-minute. Finals, 30-minute. The tournament final is a 1-hour time limit. So this is what they're taping that's going to air in September. And it's supposed to be something completely different than we've seen before. At least that's what Ring of Honor is saying.
Alrighty.
So
big-time Thunderdome action.
That'll be exciting. And they have laid out an extensive procedure for talent and referees. They will test you 14 days out. You'll be quarantined, testing 3 days out again, and isolated at a hotel, testing the day of the show, tracing, temperatures taking, masks at all time. So they're really, they've been in a layoff for a while, so it looks like they're going to come back strong, and hopefully this works out really well, because I would love some more wrestling product on my television screen.
Yes, all right, so they bring them in, test them 14 days out, bring them in and just keep them there?
They're gonna test them 3 days out, and then they're going to quarantine them at the hotel. And anyone with a temperature over 100 degrees will not be allowed in.
So there's 2 quarantine stages. You get tested 14 days out, and then if you clear, you get brought in.
Right, and then you get tested 3 days out.
Yeah, and in between those times, you're not going anywhere else.
That's the plan.
You're just in there.
You hope. Some sad news in the Ring of Honor world. We lost Xavier yesterday, the second ever Ring of Honor world champion. He defeated Lowkey September 21st, 2002, in what many Ring of Honor fans would call one of the best feuds they've ever done in Ring of Honor. He was only 43.
Samoa Joe beat him for the belt, right?
Yes. He was only 43, and he was supposed to be a part of that past versus present show that they were going to do in March where he was going to wrestle Jay Lethal. Huge impact on the East Coast, did a lot of stuff out here. He was from New York. The 3 of us have a lot of mutual friends who worked with him and knew him. So, if you get the time, jump on the Honor Club or YouTube and just watch some Xavier stuff. He was really an exceptional worker, and he fit right in with the Ring of Honor stuff. And he did Jersey All Pro. He did tons of promotions here on the East Coast. So definitely something worth checking out.
And he was gonna get back in, and he's been a big influence on guys. I think in like the House of Glory area, and like still the a lot of guys in the Northeast from here, New York upward, owe him a lot. And he wanted to get back, but I know he did not want to wrestle without fans in the crowd. So now it's the timing is awful because we're slowly getting back there on these independent shows where I feel like he could have easily done it. And I know guys have said that maybe him working with Anthony Deppen would have been a great match and all these other things. So he, it sucks. You know, second Ring of Honor champion of all time. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's tough. And it was, as of us doing this show, I don't know if they've said what he passed from. But thoughts and prayers to those who knew Xavier and lost a friend. It's always rough when it happens. Some New Japan stuff. Because I know, Kevin, you've been clamoring to find out what is going on with this Kings of Pro Wrestling thing.
Every single day when my head hits the pillow.
Well, I'm Kevin, hoping. The voting has begun for the first round matches.
Oh, mama.
All right. These are your stipulations. These are your stipulations. And Tony, I have news for you too, New Japan news, that you might have little cumsies in your pants.
Is it a fake belt?
It's not a fake belt. It's better than a fake belt, Kevin. All right, so Kojima's going to wrestle El Desperado, and these are your two stipulations.
Two?
Well, the fans have to vote for one of them.
You have to ride fences.
Okay, Kojima has chosen a finisher is the only way to end the match. So if Kojima uses his lariat or El Desperado uses the Pinche Loco, it will lead to a win. Desperado has chosen a no finishers match. So if Kojima uses the lariat or he uses his finisher, it will be a disqualification. So you can vote now to find out which one of these stipulations will impact this match.
Do we have to mail in our votes?
No mail. You do it just on the Twitter machine.
Okay. Gotcha.
Toriano against Bushi. Toriano has chosen a two count for a pinfall. Bushi has chosen a five count for if you're outside the ring for more than five, you get disqualified. Because Toriano does a lot of stuff outside the ring. So those are those stipulations. You can vote on that. Now, Show against Sonata. Show has chosen what? What? I missed something.
It was what Kevin said. Relax.
It was when you said Yano does a lot of stuff outside the ring. I was like, Yano.
Oh, I could have listened back to that. Damn it.
And then Tony's face just made me laugh.
Sho and Sonata will have a submission match. It's already decided. Sho chose a submission match. Sonata chose a match with no pinfalls. So, obviously, they have to have a submission match. And then the last match, Okada against Yujiro. Okada has chosen a 1-on-3 handicap match. Yujiro has chosen a lumberjack match where belts can be used as weapons. So, you have to go vote on that.
Like actual belts, not like title belts.
Yes, like actual belts.
Lumberjack belts.
Yes.
Wait, a one versus three, so he would get two partners?
No, Okada would wrestle Yujiro, Gato, and Jado because he already knows they're going to be involved.
That's a weird stipulation.
He wants to beat everybody's ass.
So he's saying instead of the inevitable happening of me losing because of them, let me just include them in there. That's still a reach to me.
Okada's turning into fucking John Cena, isn't he?
Well, no, this is the situation they put him in with all this Jado Gato bullshit. It's a terrible threesome.
Pick no interference.
Well, he didn't pick that way, all right?
And I'm not a fucking 20-time IWGP champion either. I'm smarter than Okada.
This isn't the worst. I thought this was going to be really bad, but I kind of understand what they're doing here. It makes sense now that I see it on paper. But we'll see how it plays out.
It's just like in theory, like if you want to be like nerd guy, technical guy, like why would you invite two other people who have the capability of beating you?
But they don't have the capability of beating him.
Or affect the outcome legally. Why would anyone would do the opposite? And like Tony said, like.
Because he's Okada. He thinks he's the man. I don't know. I don't know the reasoning.
Yeah, that does seem very John Cena-ish. Tony was kind of right.
Always right.
The finals of the New Japan Cup USA have been set. It'll be
USA.
David Finley against Kenta. Finley beat Tama Tonga in a super upset. and Kenta beat Jeff Cobb in a fucking awesome match. And if you're not watching the New Japan Strong series on New Japan World, it's easy watch, great action. I highly recommend it. The New Japan Climax 30 tour will be different than last year. They will not have the guys from the they won't have the guys from the B block wrestling the same night as the guys from the A block. So it will just be tournament matches from Block A one night. And then there won't be like an 8-man tag with guys that are supposed to wrestle the next night. They're gonna mix things up there, and they don't want too much.
I won't fucking take his shirt off and just walk away from the match.
I'm sorry.
And who's gonna fucking lose? Alex Connors or whatever. The fuck
Alex Coughlin. Well, Tony, I got great news for you. Guess who's making his New Japan Pro Wrestling debut this Friday night on New Japan Strong?
What was his fucking name? Who?
His name's fucking Jay White, motherfucker.
His debut?
On New Japan in the U.S. since the fucking pandemic.
FJW.
No, fuck Tony Z. How's that sound?
Fuck Jay White.
Fuck T-Dunk. Wait, fuck FTD.
Wait, fuck Jay. What? There we go. Fuck Jay White.
FTD. Fuck T-Dunk.
No, fuck Jay White.
Fuck T-Dunk.
Fuck Jay White and Jado and Gato and fucking 5-on-1 with Okada and fuck them all.
That's all my
Tony, Tony, we were saying how Okada was very, that was very John Cena-ish. Kate in the hot mic was like, Okabadu!
That's funny. You know what's not funny? That you wrote pop after that. I hate when people write pop.
Well, you know what? Fuck you.
Just write ha 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 or LOL like a normal person.
All right, I rushed through the New Japan stuff because we got games to get to. We still have Thunder Rosa to call in. Kevin, are you ready with your top five list?
Wait, do you want to do the plugs first, or you want to save them for later?
I want to go get an alcoholic drink. So if you want to do plugs, or you need me, I'll do plugs, and then I'll go get an alcoholic drink.
Yeah, give me a second to get a drink, and then you can go get a drink.
Okay.
How much time we have?
We have 36 minutes.
Wait, hold on. Do you need music, by the way, or are you good?
If you have a little music bed, I don't mind. I'm not against any music while I plug our Patreon supporters. The timing with Thunder Rosa has completely thrown this show into a complete tailspin as we try to recover and figure out when to do commercial breaks and plug our Patreons. So just make sure you check out the Shining Wizards Network over at shiningwizardsnetwork.com. There's a cavalcade of excellent shows. The Midnight Jury, they just finally came back. They picked up some dead weight, right, off of another show. Maybe this show, who knows. And then they dropped that dead weight because they were like, this guy's fucking gumming up all our shit. So then they finally put out a new show, and Tony said it was a home run.
Fucking awesome.
So check out the Midnight.
Al and Mike together are fucking amazing.
They're like the Killer Bees.
Yes.
Right? You can't put Jim Bronzell with somebody else or B. Brian Blair with somebody else. They got to work together. All right, we got some music. So check those guys out. They're back on the Shining Wizards Network, the Midnight Jury, the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast. There's a Canadian Hockey Night or whatever fucking wrestling show they do. Snowy and Company, Radioactive Metal, the Horns Up, brother. What are they called? The High Spot podcast. I think they're back with us, Kevin. They haven't done anything through the whole pandemic. I don't fucking know. I'm not going to lie. I barely listen to any of the other shows on the network. So, but that was Tony's. It was probably best if Tony plugged the network, but so is life. We're going to thank those that support us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1.
Ooh.
$1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Now, we're going to take time to thank those that support us. Kathy Hummer, Queen of the Shining Wizards. Mr. Manny Carrazzo, the King of the Shining Wizards. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Mr. Ryan Arthur over at elementarybrewery.com. That's elementarybrewery.com in Hackensack, New Jersey. Sean Toe and Sean Calejo. Mr. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate Hensler over at ondeckic.com. I cannot... I cannot
pop,
put
big pop. Big
I can't
pop.
Put her over like Tony. If you're looking for a jingle for your podcast, your radio show, your TV show, your Twitch channel, anything that needs music, Kate the Great and On Deck IC are the company to go to. If you're looking for any kind of jingles or any kind of excellence that involves, you know, if your business is like, it's a 5 and you want your business to be like a 10, you go to On Deck IC. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, I pop for that, man. Big pop for that.
Right? So just don't be a fool. I know, Kate. I know you're listening. You're in the hot mic. I'm not doing you any justice. I apologize. Tony fucked everything. I don't know where he went to get... If he's fucking milking a cow in his backyard to get a drink. I don't know where Tony is. But that's my plug for Kate Hensler at ondeckic.com. And follow her and tune in every Wednesday night. She's part of the Wednesday night crew. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Matt Mellinger, congratulations on your engagement, sir. He just got engaged last week, so congratulations, Matt Mellinger. He's a disciple of On Deck IC, another great guy to follow.
Disciple,
yes. We'll get it. We're all like it. This is like a cult. We're like a cult family here. Let's be real about it. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls with Kathy Hummer. Mark Parloni, happy birthday, Mark. I know we just missed it last week, so again, we wish you a very happy birthday. Kenny Hawsey, he's the Scotch Drinks More on the Twitter machine. Jay Kopp. Jay Kopp, the Big Papa Cump. Big Papa Pump. Jesus. He's over there on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with good old Hot Dog Fingers and No Socks Choppy. So you could listen to those guys every Friday night. Thomas Kopps, the Mott Spock.
Oh, yeah. Big Pop.
I got it because Tony had a mouthful of cum. Michael Hammond. He's gurgling it. David Henry Bauer III, his pal, Antonio Hauserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, the true Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine, give him a follow. TJ Vegas, another longtime listener, finally supporting, not finally, that sounds like a dick.
Wow.
He jumped on board. He got, I don't know how nice way to say it. Fuck you. You got up, you went away for like 10 minutes. I already butchered all the plugs. I shit on the network.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be left alone with Kevin.
Pop big for that. Big pop, Tony. Big pop.
Fuck. Tony. Last and certainly not least, our man, TJ, thank you. Thank you for joining our Patreon. We appreciate the support. I can't find the words in the English language to convey how much it means to us that you finally went and took your alligator arms and pulled a dollar out of your pocket and joined our Patreon. So thank you for that.
Jeez.
No, I didn't want to say that. Shit. I'm sorry. TJ, thank you for your support. You're the best. You should impregnate my mother-in-law.
Ew.
Don't say that. She's a lovely lady. Last but certainly not least, this has gone to shit. I'm done. I got to go downstairs now and get a drink. What if she heard me? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. What a world. Kevin is either frozen or stunned. Mr. William Mercier Junior.
Lives are going to be in William Mercer's hands. Oh man, nobody knows what this means.
Hell yeah!
What's that? What just happened, T-Dog?
I don't know, Kev. What happened to you?
What?
It's time for Soundboard Tony.
Fuck it.
No, Tony, that was supposed to be the most harmless part of the show, is the plugs.
I know.
And yet it turned into something that I've never seen before.
He's lost his mind.
I think we all have a little bit.
Now you're playing host to both games tonight. This is actually pretty interesting. What do you want to start with? You want to start with the top five as usual, or do you want to go into the game first?
I say we stick with what brought us to the dance, and do a little top five ski first, and then you get into it. Ah, not with a twisted T.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry. All right, I'm done doing plugs.
Steve, I'm fucking commandeering the ship over here. What are you going to do?
I'm all frazzled.
I know. You seem like not right.
All right. Let me see. I got two top fives here. Let me see which one I want to pull the trigger on.
Yes, please keep one for next week.
All right. I got it.
Wait. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Wait, Kevin's I'm top host. Five. I'm giving you an intro.
Oh, that's right. Good call.
All right, here's Kevin.
Well, Tony, thank you very much. Your radio voice is spectacular. Don't ever change, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of KJG's Top 5. We have a doozy for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And by ladies and gentlemen, I mean Tony and Matt. So let's go right into our first contestant. Tony, how are you tonight?
Kevin. Having a great time. So happy to be here. And I'm just going to keep talking all over you.
That's right, because I've realized this isn't the top five. This isn't the Can You Beat That, so I don't really need to intro you. So this is just Kevin's top five. Guys, Tony and Matt, I have a top five list of ECW superstars that made appearances in WWE and WCW, had decent runs, but they could not have done more if they tried. So basically what I have here is ECW guys who went to WWE and WCW and could not have made less of an impact, but had some substantial runs, had decent little runs, but basically very, very forgettable.
Matt, I'm starting.
Yes.
I'm going to go Shane Douglas.
Tony, I thought about Shane Douglas. Here's the thing.
Come on, already, dude. Here's
the thing with Shane Douglas. He had a good run in WCW, went to ECW, but he had a decent run in that turnaround in WCW. The Revolution, this and that. He had a decent run, Buff Bagwell feuding with Flair. It was a decent enough run, but I did think about Shane Douglas.
How are you going to say decent run and Buff Bagwell in the same sentence, dude? Come on.
Buff Bagwell was over, bro.
Come on, bro.
All right, Matt, you have a guess here.
I'll take a Mikey Whipwreck.
See, Matt, me and Matt have always been like this. Always been on the same wavelength. Matt, Mikey Whipwreck is number four on the list. Made his debut challenging for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship against Billy Kidman, lost. And then just kind of was there, but just kind of faded off into the old proverbial sunset. So that is one for one so far for SWM, Mikey Whipwreck at number four. T-Donk.
Let me guess. The Sandman's not on the list either, right?
Of course not.
Well, Matt.
Wow, Tony no,
you
is.
Can, you can still go. I mean, it's not like.
That was my guess, the Sandman.
Chris Candido.
Thought about Candido. But. See, this is where it gets kind of tricky. I thought his WCW run was
I like how annoyed Tony is.
Candido, I would have put over Whipwreck. Come on, dude. All respect to Mikey.
If you put Candido over. Oh, yeah. Never mind. You're doing that would be a service to Mikey Whipwreck. But no, thought about Candido. He had a decent enough run in WCW where he was Cruiserweight champion, this and that. So I liked Candido's run in WCW.
Dean Malenko. I'm not even looking at the fucking screen.
Donkosaurus.
All right. Come can on. I get the wrestler formerly known as 911, Big Al?
That's a good call. Didn't think about him. Not on the list.
All right. Back to you, Tony. T-Donk.
Only because his run, Big Al and WCW, Tombstone, whatever he was called, you didn't know who he was. He got fed to the giant, and that was it.
Sabu.
Oh my god, T-Dog, you're killing me.
No, you're killing me, dude. Sabu had a great career in ECW, did fuck all in WCW, and did a little better.
It's not about their career in ECW. It's not about their career in ECW. They could have done everything, or they could have done nothing. But Sabu had a good couple runs in 97 with that whole Jerry Lawler stuff, and then with the resurgence, he was there.
We don't talk about the resurgence.
I'll wait till we get to. Can you top that?
Motherfucker, I knew you were going to do that. Can we get a... Fuck. Too Cool Scorpio.
Thought about Too Cool Scorpio. But Flash Funk and then the Terry Funk stuff wasn't great, but this is going to be one of those situations where the people on the list, you're going to appreciate, you're going to see why I didn't include Too Cold Scorpio or Seven or Chris Candido.
Get him, Tony.
Jerry Lynn.
T-Donk. Dr. Donk coming in with the correct diagnosis. Number three, part of our good friends over at Front Row Metal. Front Row Material, I'm sorry.
Front Row Metal.
Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn comes in at number three. Former light heavyweight champion, Sunday Night Heat regular. Just didn't quite cut the mustard. So
let me ask you a question, though. What exactly is the criteria again?
Tony? I was thinking that right when you asked it. This is pretty much a loose cannon game. So, because number one is pretty forgettable. Number two is not forgettable. And number five is not forgettable. But number one is definitely probably forgettable.
Stevie Richards.
Thought about Stevie Richards.
Of course you did.
But right to censor was big.
All right, Tony, to you.
Fuck me sideways. Was Little Guido ever in WCW?
Don't. All right, the rest are WWE, by the way.
Oh, God.
Their appearances are from WWE. While some have appeared in WCW.
Oh, I thought this was supposed to be they appeared in both.
No,
one or the other. Come on, man, listen.
Come on, we don't have time.
That's incredible. Well, Kevin picks all these fucking awful answers.
Well, Tony, if it's such an awful answer, how did you guess number two?
Because I'm fucking stupid, that's how.
That's incredible. Very forgettable run, but he was there for a long time, multiple times. X Factor, and then his resurgence and the resurgence.
There's no resurgence.
Just incredible. Number two, dear good friend, just incredible.
There's no resurgence, people. It was just another shitty side piece in WWE put out, okay? There was no ECW resurgence.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's no, it's not a resurgence.
Shut up and answer the fucking question!
I thought you said there was no research.
God! Budgeting 101 over here.
Raven,
yes, Raven. He's number one. He's number five.
Raven's not on the list because Raven had good runs in both. WrestleMania matches, great run in WCW. All right, so you guys are down to 5-1. One, like I said, is forgettable. But I didn't think this through. But all right, no, you know what? I'm confident with this.
Al Snow.
Oh, come on, Al Snow had a great run.
Blue Meanie.
Thought about Blue Meanie.
Of course you do.
Blue Meanie would probably be number six if it wasn't for that whole blue dust hysterical thing.
Okay. T-Donk.
Come on.
Terry Funk?
No.
Super Crazy.
Nah, Super Crazy had a long, nice little career there.
Did he? Okay.
Oh, Psychosis.
No.
Come
on, guys. Like one.
Rhino.
No, Rhino was fantastic.
Conan.
All right, I'm going to give you a hint.
No.
Number one.
Baracus.
Ooh, that's a great call.
Not right, though.
The Dupps.
Number one is Perry Saturn. No, Perry Saturn's not on the list. Number one had a good run in WCW, a forgettable run in WWE.
And he was in ECW. Good run in WCW.
Let's pull the reins on he or she. It could be they.
Lita. Shelly Martinez.
Woman.
Don't think of gender. Think of number of people.
Six Pac.
Insane Clown Posse.
No. And number five had runs in the resurgence. And didn't last long, but he was also there for a cup of coffee in the initial going into T-Donk, did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, you did. Balls Mahoney. He was Santa Claus and he was fucking Kelly Kelly's admirer.
Santa Claus has nothing to do with it, but Balls Mahoney is number five. A couple of decent little runs, nice little feud with Mike Knox on the WWCW, was involved in all the invasion angles.
Feud with Mike Knox puts it on Kevin's list.
Well, it's forgettable, right? But he was there for a while.
Tony Mamaluke.
No, thought about Tony Mamaluke. But he went from WCW to ECW. Not vice versa. Even though he did have the little
run. It's not Tajiri, because he had a good run in WWE.
Again, don't think about... This is not a singular entity.
Is it the BWO?
No.
The Baldies?
No. Guys, it's staring you right in the face. Really good run in WCW, terrible run in WWE.
Public Enemy.
There you go, T-Donk, number one.
Jesus Christ.
The Public Enemy. So number five, Balls Mahoney. Number four, Mikey Whipwreck. Number three, Jerry Lynn. Number two, Justin Credible. Number one, The Public Enemy. You knew they were there, but they got beat up on Shock on Saturday night every single week. So there it is. Is this the first list that I'm getting that you guys aren't too satisfied with?
Well, it was a list, all right.
Matt, you're the ECW guy. Do you have any? All right, so who would you put on this list? Who would you take off this list and put on?
If we had time to have this discussion, I would definitely get into it, but we have Thunder Rosa in 17 minutes, and we have to get into, what is it? Can you beat that? Can you top that?
Can you beat that?
Yes, can you beat that?
I'm going to beat the shit out of Tony tonight.
All right, boys. This is my first time hosting. Can you beat that? So please, I implore you. I don't even know if that's the right word. Take it easy on me. All right, guys. We have three categories here. First, let's introduce our contestants. T-Donk again. How are you, Donkosaurus Rex?
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
SWM, Marble Mouth himself, Shining Wizards Matt.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too good about this one because you already showed your hand during the list, so.
Well, I mean, it depends with the category names. Maybe we don't pick. Who's picking? Do I decide who picks first?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, I beat you last week.
Matt picked first.
All right, so Matt picks first.
Yes.
All right, so Matt, we have three categories.
All right.
One has 12 answers, one has 9, one has 13. So I will give you. So what do I do?
You should save your toughest one for the tiebreaker.
All right. So I give you the two categories and you pick one.
Yes. Yeah. That's fine.
Save the third one for the tiebreaker if we need it.
All right. You will call category number one that has 9 answers. Big fish, small pond, then becomes a small fish in a big pond. How about NX titles? How about that? NX titles is category number one with 9 answers.
Oh, Jesus.
And then category number two has 13, which is what Matt said I tipped my hand at. And it's called Taking It to the Less Stream.
Let's go Taking It to the Less Stream.
All right, Matt, we talk about the resurgence of WWECW.
It's not a resurgence.
I know you hate it, and we talk about it a lot, so it's fresh in your mind.
Fresh.
Since Rob Van Dam, there have been 13 WWECW champions.
Oh!
So not including Rob Van Dam, how many do you think you can mention?
I'm going to start with 4.
Donkalish.
Hold on.
I mean, I don't know what the... I mean, this is your game. I don't know.
I'm going to go 7.
All right. T-Donk's with 7.
I'll say 8.
All right. Match with 8.
Shit, do I have 8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Fuck.
Wait, he said 8? Huh. And how many are there? There's 13, you said?
13. According to Wikipedia.
That's always a good source.
No, I did my due diligence. My memory is also great at this, by the way, this era.
That said 8.
Alex confident that
I could do 8. I don't know if I could do 9. You know what? I'm going to let Matt do 8.
Fuck.
I'm going to let him do 8 because I can't think of the 9th person. I have a 9th and I can't think of him, so I'm going to let him do 8.
Okay. Okay. A, 1. Vince McMahon. Mr. McMahon. Okay. Whatever you want to call him. I know he won the title once, which makes me want to vomit.
That is correct.
Okay. Matt Hardy, because I brought you that figure when he had the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
That is correct. You were at 2.
Okay. Ezekiel Jackson. He was the last ECW champion, right?
That is correct. You were at 3.
CM Punk?
CM Punk is number 4, Matt. You're halfway there. Whoa, whoa. Living on an ECW prayer.
What a dick.
Kane?
That's 5.
Getting close, buddy.
Fuck. Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley is 6.
Fuck. Hold up. Who do I have? I need 2.
You need 2 to get there.
Christian
is 7.
Wow. One more, buddy.
One more.
I have 2 names written down here.
Pick the wrong one.
I'm going to go with the Hall of Famer. Let's say Mark Henry.
Mark Henry is 8.
Damn.
Matt gets 8 with Bobby Lashley, Vince McMahon, CM Punk, Kane, Mark Henry, Matt Hardy, Christian, and Ezekiel Jackson. Would you guys want to try to guess the rest? Do we have time for that or no?
I had Chavo. I had John Morrison.
John Morrison.
And I had the Big Show.
Big Show. Yep. Correct.
I wrote down Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger is there.
Oh, that's a good one.
How many do we have left?
I think that's 1.
And this is the most ironic one of them all, boys.
Is it Tommy Dreamer?
Tommy Dreamer.
Yes, wow. Good showing. Bravo. I tip my cap to you.
All right. So Matt takes number 1. He leads 1-0. That means Tony by default, right? You get the other one, or do I give you the option of the other 2?
No. You keep the toughest one for the tiebreaker. That's the way it is.
Well, this might be pretty tough for you too.
Oh, Jesus.
This is NX titles.
I get the fucking hard one.
There are 9 answers to this. There have been 9 NXT men's world champions that have gone on to hold either the Intercontinental or the United States Championship in WWE. Have gone on.
9?
There have been 9 of them. Former NXT champions that have held either of the secondary championships after holding the NXT Championship. Not directly after, but at some point in their career, they held one of the secondary titles after coming from NXT.
All right, I'm going to start with 3.
T-Donk says 3.
I'm going to say 4.
Matt Donk says 4.
I don't know if he can. He looks stupid in his...
Don't overthink it.
Oh, fuck.
Nah, that was
stupid. I'm going to go 5.
I really shouldn't have said that.
Go nuts, Tony.
All right. Let me see. Fuck, why can't I think of his name? Wait, hold on.
And I do want to specify that this is since the NXT. This isn't an FCW. This isn't anything like that. This is not even the stupid little NXT show. This is when NXT started in 2012. And we had a first actual NXT champion.
All right. I'm going to start with Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is 1. What's the number, by the way?
5.
5. I'm going to say Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn is 2.
I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura is 3.
I'm going to say Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is 4.
This is the tough one. This is a tough one. I'm not sure if this guy was an NXT champion, though. That's what's sticking in my fucking craw. I know he was. Well, wait a minute. Was he?
Talk it out, baby. Talk it out. You don't want to talk it out because you don't want to give. Actually, it doesn't matter. You would lose.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just let me think. Who else has been there? No, he didn't win anything yet, did he? Oh, fuck. Was he even an NXT champion? No, NXT wasn't around when he was around the first time. Fuck. I'm thinking, and this is not my answer. I'm stuck. I'm thinking Samoa Joe. I'm thinking Roman Reigns, but I'm not 100% sure on either one of them. I don't remember Samoa Joe wearing that title. And even worse, I don't remember him, like, who he lost it to. So I'm not sure. I know they both won secondary titles. I just don't know if they won the NXT championship. I'm trying to think if there's another outlier that I'm not thinking of. Did Kevin leave?
I'm here.
I think he killed his thing.
Oh.
I don't want to give any poker face away or anything like that.
Wow. Why did I say five, you fuck? I think who else held that NXT title? Wow. You know, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say Samoa Joe.
T-Donk, you did it. Samoa Joe, number five.
Sorry that took so long. Was Roman Reigns one of them as well or no?
That's where I was hoping that you guys – that's why I thought it was more difficult. I thought you guys would go Drew McIntyre, and I thought you guys would go Roman Reigns.
See, I was thinking Drew McIntyre, too, but he's the guy I didn't think he was around for NXT.
So we're missing four?
But he won the Intercontinental title before he was in NXT.
Okay, well, there you go.
So you're missing four, yes, Matt.
Andrade. Finn Balor.
Finn.
Fuck, Finn. Finn, fuck.
Bobby Roode.
I don't know who that guy is.
I don't know who the last one is.
Tony's never going to get it, so I'll just tell you. Big E.
Oh, fuck. Big E was
right.
A former...
He was like the second NXT champion, wasn't he?
Yep.
All right, let's get down to the tiebreaker before Thunder Rosa calls in.
We got 5 minutes.
I don't think we have enough time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth holding. We should hold on to that until afterwards.
All right, I got to go take a leak then. So
let's... All right, hurry.
Go take and it. Then I'll do the same when you get back. So, Tony, did I redeem myself for the ECW list?
You know what? I probably could have nailed the ECW one if I thought about it longer. But he pulled some of them that I completely fucking forgot about. Like Matt Hardy. I was like, oh, fuck. I fucking missed him. Who else did he have?
I put M&T's back next to both your guesses.
I had the other ones covered. I mean, I had CM Punk, I had John Morrison, I had Chavo I could have thrown in, I had Big Show. Like, I had eight guys written down.
John Morrison was the one that I thought would mess you both up.
No, because I know John Morrison won the title and then lost it to CM Punk.
Well, because John, if you remember correctly, that match was supposed to be CM Punk versus Chris Benoit for the world title. And Chris Benoit, that was when Chris Benoit...
I just remember that it was Morrison who had the title that Punk beat him for.
And CM Punk ended up facing John. That was the debut of John Morrison.
And Big Show beat Rob Van Dam, no?
Yeah. Beat Bobby Lashley.
Matt, Big Show beat Rob Van Dam for the ECW belt.
He won it in the chamber, I think, right?
Maybe.
Who did Rob Van Dam lose to that first, like that?
I think it was Big Show. You talked about it a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
And then Vince McMahon beat Lashley, and then Lashley beat McMahon.
I was telling Kevin I might have been able to pull off that ECW question, but, you know, it was a bad play. I didn't know if you would be able to pull it. When you pulled Matt Hardy out, I was like, all right. And then you fucking pulled Zeke. Zeke was the guy I couldn't think of. He was the fucking eighth. If I couldn't think of Zeke Jackson, I wouldn't have got it.
Let me go to the bathroom, and hopefully I'll be back, and we'll be joined by Thunder Rosa.
You all right, buddy?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just
That was actually the first question I've answered correctly. That's the first one I actually ever played.
Oh, that you got right.
Well, that I ever played, because I only played this one other time, and I let who was it?
Kevin.
I never played you. I played
no, it was
you.
Kevin.
And I let you take both questions.
No, you played Kevin.
Kevin, and I let Kevin take both questions.
This is the first time Kevin has hosted, so.
Yeah, but that was the first time I ever actually answered a question myself, and let alone get it right, you know? So.
Yeah.
Those were good questions. I kind of like them.
They were very good questions. That was good. Job well done by Kevin.
Well, so far. We'll see how the final.
I mean, it's better than his top five list.
Top five was rough, dude. Yo. How many times does he go, thought about it? I mean, come on. But in fairness, Public Enemy was a fair number one.
That's a great, yeah. I don't think he was very clear with the...
He wasn't. I thought it was like guys that went both to WCW and ECW.
Yeah,
you know
I think
saying?
He was trying to say guys that went to one or the other promotion, and it was like for a cup of coffee, or it was not memorable.
Yeah, but then some of them were memorable. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like Jerry Lynn's run, yeah, he was light heavyweight champion, not memorable.
Come no, on, not at all.
Mikey Whipwreck were not memorable.
And WCW, no.
Or WWE. What did he have? He had one match at whatchamacallit.
Was he really in WWE?
Didn't he have a match at one of the pay-per-views?
One night stand?
I thought he did.
I think he did something with Tajiri.
Him and Tajiri had a tag match, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I don't like how that falls under the WWE banner, though. That first one night stand was so ECW. So,
well, what pisses me off about the second show, like, I liked Rob Van Dam winning. It was a fucking great moment. It was just surreal seeing John Cena get shit on. But, dude, to have him win Money in the Bank, cash in that night... And then fucking Sabu just gets a world title shot, and then it ends with a fucking, like, a stoppage. You know what I'm saying? It was like, really? This is what we're doing now? Really? I don't know. It didn't fit the ECW game plan.
I don't think I've ever watched the second one.
You should. Was Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka on the first one?
I thought they were. I've seen that one. And I think I've seen the Rob Van Dam Sabu match. Or Rob Van Dam John Cena match.
It's surreal. It's so insane the way that match comes off. I think Jerry Lawler took on Taz on that show too, didn't he?
The second one?
Yeah, I think so. Because Jerry Lawler wound up beating up what's his nuts? Oh no, was that the first one? Well, did you remember Jerry Lawler beating up Joey Styles or no?
I don't recall.
That was probably the second one, because Taz actually went out. They sort of had a match, but it was pretty much Taz in his like sweatsuit just choking him out.
The second one is the one where JBL beats up Meanie, right?
No, that's the first one, because it didn't. No, because the second one ends with Rob Van Dam celebrating, right?
Okay.
Because the first one ended. Was the first one the Dudleys against Sandman and Dreamer?
Yeah.
So then when did Foley and Edge fight?
That was at WrestleMania.
Was it? No, Foley and Edge were on. No, who was on it? It was a team. It was a six-man. It was Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and what's her name?
No, it was the second one was Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk against Mick Foley and Edge.
And they added the women. It became a six-man. They added Beulah and what's-her-name and Lita, didn't they?
Maybe they added them, or maybe they just showed up and did stuff. Wasn't that a WrestleMania match?
No, because Edge even had, like, the really gross pin on Beulah, too. Remember, he wishboned her? Yeah. Another match on the undercard. This was 2006. Edge, Mick Foley, and Lita versus Terry Funk, Tommy Dreamer, and Beulah McGillicuddy in a hardcore intergender match.
They must have just... added that, because I don't remember that being promoted at all. I could be way off, but
no, the tag match was promoted, but then I think it was actually Beulah that called for the six man, and they all agreed to it, in the intro.
And then there was the flaming table. Edge speared Someone threw a flaming. Maybe that was WrestleMania.
That was WrestleMania. That was Agent Foley.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so here, Taz defeated Jerry Lawler by submission. This is 2006. Kurt Angle beat Randy Orton by submission. The FBI beat Super Crazy and Tajiri. Mysterio beat and Sabu went to a no contest for the world title. Edge leader McFoley beat Beulah, Terry Funk, Tommy Dreamer. Balls Mahoney beat Masato Tanaka. And Rob Van Dam beat John Cena for the WWE Championship. That was 2006.
Say that again. Balls Mahoney defeated Masato Tanaka.
Yes.
God, they continued this thing for like a couple years, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Ugh, gross.
Well, don't worry about that, because right now on the hotline we have joining us, she is your reigning and defending NWA World's Women Champion, and it sounds like she's having a great time already. Please welcome Miss Thunder Rosa. Miss Rosa, how are you this evening?
Man, I don't even know where to start, man. I've been busy all freaking week. I haven't had no rest whatsoever. Okay.
I mean, busy's not bad. Busy is good. You could be worse. You could be sitting on the couch eating potato chips watching Netflix.
And no time for that, man. I mean, I've been, you know, working super hard the whole entire quarantine, and I continue to work hard. And, you know, hey, can you take Drago out of the room, please? Sorry, Drago is always, he makes a Drago entrance, and he's barking at everything because, you know. He's a brat, my dog.
So Bravo's a dog. So. Are you a dog lady? Do you have any cats?
I don't have cats. When I was little, I used to have 17 cats.
All right. So 17's a lot. These guys bust my balls because I have 3.
No, because, you know, I mean, my little sister, she had a thing for cats. So my sister before me, she was given a cat. It was a female cat. And then she started having kittens. And then, you know, we live in Mexico, so I didn't have money to, like, you know, give her to fix the cat. So the cat just had like generations of cats. And then at one point we had 17 cats, but they all disappeared mysteriously. And then you ended up having like 5.
Well, that's
like the neighbors killed them, you know, like they some like messed up stuff in Mexico. So
that's
my sister really suffered a lot.
I'm gonna tell you right now, those cats, chupacabra.
Probably soon enough. Yo, why do you always bark when I have an interview, Drago?
Bravo. Always. What? Now, look, Mrs. Thunder Rosa, there's another show that we do, and there's another dog on that show. So maybe Bravo can fight Buster, because Buster, he's always he's out of control.
Yeah, well, it's Drago. Like, you remember, like, Lucha Underground Drago?
Yes, Drago.
D-R-A-G-O. Yeah, that's his name, Drago.
Like from Rocky IV.
Not Bravo. Yes, from Rocky IV, yeah.
I will break you. Does Drago break things in the house?
You know what? Believe it or not, he's not that bad. No, he doesn't. He likes to... what does he like to do? He just likes to bark for attention, and he just wants you to pet him when he's in a good mood. And if he's not, he growls at you, and he'll probably bite your face. He does that.
I mean, I can't blame him. If I'm hanging around Thunder Rosa... Just pet me. Just we'll hang out. We'll watch some TV, whatever. Drago's got, he just wants to be near mommy. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the only one who can actually like kiss him, like really, really close to his mouth. Or my son. No, don't. My son's right now, but I don't think he's ready.
All right. So you said that you've been super busy during quarantine. What is keeping you busy? Is it hitting the gym? Is it training? Is it, you know, MMA? Is it pro wrestling? What is really has been keeping you busy?
Everything, man. Everything. Like I started with the YouTube, and that was going really well, like editing. And then like they opened the gym, so I was like doing a lot of training at home. And then I went back to MMA training. So I was doing jiu-jitsu training. Throughout this time, like I got my blue belt, you know, and I'm like doing more striking classes and like learning more stuff like that, and doing a lot of wrestling and just learning more technique, because like that's very important so like you become a good professional fighter. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm just gonna start a custom, you know, company. So I started running customs. We had our last shot. We shot on Saturday. So right now I'm working on editing stuff, sending files, you know, and I'm like learning how to use Adobe Pro and watching a bunch of tutorials, which I have no patience for it. I'm, you know, and like, you know, this wrestling stuff too here in Texas. Like I said, a lot of things are still like are open. So I've been working a lot, you know, and like doing my own thing, you know, and my son is in school now. He started school. So like, you know, just trying to figure things out with him with Zoom and everything. And then like, I'm training my dog, and that's another thing. It's just like a bunch of stuff, and like spending time with family, like everything at the same time. So yeah.
All right. So you mentioned that's a busy schedule right there. All right. So you mentioned MMA, you mentioned professional wrestling, and then you mentioned customs. What is the passion? What is the passion? Where does the actual passion lie, or is it possible to be passionate about all three?
I think I really like to train. I think that really motivated me to like stay focused. MMA really reignited my passion for wrestling because like it really like it's like being an MMA fighter is the epitome of like a professional athlete, man. You gotta be ready all the time. You know, you can be like I'm just gonna take a break. Like that will set you up so much. And like it is fortunate and unfortunate at the same time because of my schedule of wrestling, because wrestling is my job. I have to take some breaks in between because I have a lot of bookings or like I have TV, I have to travel, and I don't have the opportunity to train as hard as I am when I'm at home, you know? So I have to be like, you have to find a balance. And that's like now where I'm like, if I'm traveling a lot, I can really train as much. And I have to be very careful because like some of the bookings are already paid bookings and I can get hurt while training, because it has happened to me where I'm like doing wrestling class and I'm going really, because I go hard. I don't just go and be like, oh, let's just like roll and like flow. No, I like to go hard because like how I train is how I want to fight. You know, the same with when I wrestle in the ring, how I train is that's how I want to perform, you know. So a couple months ago, I hurt my knee doing my class. Like somebody sprawled on me and my knee went inside. So like my MCL, I had this issue for a long time. So it's a recurring injury. So I had to like chill for like 2 months, you know, but I never stopped wrestling, like professional wrestling, you know, because you can kind of work around it. So it's such a like, it's art, you know, because like I love just training so much and seeing the transformation in my body.
Now, we all know as wrestling fans, the toll wrestling alone takes on the body. You're bumping on extremely hard mats and the concrete and the boards and everything. You mix in the MMA training. I mean, how taxing is that on your body, and how do you recover so you can work all these shows and defend your NWA Women's Championship?
I have a really good chiropractor here in town, so they actually sponsor me, so I have two. Then I go with this masseuse too. Like he beats my butt and like helps me out. I used a little cryotherapy before, but it just got too expensive. So I go with one of my physical therapists, and I used to do like ice baths and stuff, ice and cold. There's a lot. I mean, you invest a lot in that. Like if you really want to, you know, perform the way that I should perform, I have to spend money on that. But I think, again, I've been really blessed to like have some sort of like sponsorships in that way. But if not, I mean, I try to like sleep as much as I can. Like sleeping is key, and eating a balance, you know, eating balanced meals and healthy, you know, and trying not to drink as much. I mean, I don't know if you've seen my social media. I love craft beer, and Tavor sent me like boxes of craft beer for free, and they're just sitting in my fridge waiting for me to be drinked.
I am so jealous. I am so jealous.
Yeah, they're so good. I was actually, it was so hot yesterday. I was just like, let me drink my beer. So that's what I do, you know. I try to keep a balance, definitely.
All right. So Matt touched on the fact that you are still the, you know, the NWA Women's Champion, and I want to talk about your time there. I mean, it's not over by a long shot, but when they put a whole lot of steam behind you, so quick, so fast, and it came across really well on TV. And not since like, I was trying to draw comparisons, but I don't want to do a disservice to anybody, but people like Gail Kim, who like won championships on the first night, you know, even like a Paige won a championship on her first night in WWE. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't happen for you. They really put the engine, for lack of a better term, behind you. What did that mean to you? And like in your first, you know, title defense, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, you beat Allison Kay for that championship. What was that like to have a company, so confident in you that, and the crowd too, by the way, let's not forget about them. They were all about you. What did that mean to you? And how did that make you feel getting that legit, like, you know, engine right there for you?
It was about damn time. I can't lie to you. I mean, shit. I can't even, come on, man. Like, seriously. I have shown over and over and over for years and years and years that I'm one of the top athletes in the business. And somebody was following me and saw the potential that I have. And they're like, you know what? We can work with you. Yes, you're a work in progress. You know, like, some of you promise can get better. But they saw that I have talent and they saw that I have potential. The same thing happened to me when I went to, like, Lucha Underground and they saw me as Cobra Moon. They told me I had it, but it didn't translate the way they translated with Thunder Rosa, you know, because people are now, you know, more acquainted with me. And when they told me that this was going to happen, for me, it was just like, it was about damn time. And it couldn't happen at a better time when I was training for my first MMA fight, which, of course, you know, I didn't get the results that I wanted, again, because I had a really big schedule wrestling, but I did my best, and I, you know, and I show, like, I'm fearless, and I wasn't afraid of, like, facing anybody, like, you're like, literally, like, facing, you'll find your death almost, you know, so I think it was just time, and just that right there made me work even harder, to, like, you know, difficult, every time I defend the championship, because I mean, if I'm gonna lose it, it has to be somebody better than I am, definitely, you know. Okay. And I don't think right now, my opponents are better than I am.
So on the one hand, in NWA, and you mentioned your Lucha Underground success, and of course your NWA success, you're on top of the world on one hand, and on the other hand, you didn't get the result that you wanted from your first foray into combat sports. And if I'm wrong about that, let me just please correct me. But what can you learn about each? What can you learn about the loss, and what can you learn about the success that you've had in wrestling?
I think for the loss in MMA, like, when you get in the cage, you have to come completely, like, sure of what you're going to do, that you are going to win the fight, that you know how you're going to win the fight, that you have, like, visualization is, like, one of the most important parts of it, and, like, not jumping too quick. And knowing that, you know, you have to be, when you feel like you're ready, you know, it was my first one. I jumped pro right away, and it's like something absolutely insane. You know, I'm only done pro wrestling for 5 years, and it's completely different than MMA. I have so much respect for every single woman and men that, you know, step in the cage, because it's like one of the most difficult things. Like, because it's not only physical, but mental, you know, it's like the dehydration, the 5 days before your fight, like the hunger, like, the you know, hydrating yourself the day before the fight, and just like the jitters and everything, and not knowing, you know, what's going to happen, regardless of if you're ready or not, because it's always 50-50, because that person can make a mistake and you can capitalize on it and then do that. And and for professional wrestling, I mean, I've lost so many times, man, so many times, but you know, it comes to a point in where people start seeing that, you know, you have the talent and you deserve a chance and opportunity. And that's what happened. I just took advantage of it. And I think I became more, fearless. And I think I became more, like, confident about myself as an athlete and as a woman. And, you know, if you would have asked me before, I would have never said that. Like, I would have never answered the way that I answered to you. But I will now, because I work my ass off and I don't make excuses about, oh, there was a quarantine, you know, that's why it didn't work out. No, that's when you, like, do it even harder, you know? And that's what, like, I've noticed a lot of, like, my colleagues in MMA, we're all training together. And, like, the ones that are on top, they never stop training. Ever, man. Not even if they're tired, not even if they had, like, 2 hours of sleep. And, you know, like, that, when I think about it, like, when I'm, like, feeling lazy or I don't want to work out, you know, I think about all those people and it's just, like, and some of them, I don't know them. It's just, like, you know, through social media, like, you know, send messages to each other before a fight and what things are happening to them and be like, I know she is not slacking, so I should not be slacking. And I just send a text message, hey, man, I almost didn't make it to the gym. It's like, good girl. Oh, my God, you did. Or, like, my friend that I just got signed the UFC and, you know, just, like, seeing him how hard he works, you know. So it's the same. That's why I work so hard in professional wrestling, because there's so many, many other girls behind me that are even hungrier than I am. But, you know, I am going to show them that it doesn't matter if I have a title or if they don't. I'm going to work even. I'm going to outwork them inside and outside of the ring because that's how I am.
And we're on the line with Thunder Rosa, the current NWA Women's Champion, at Thunder Rosa 22 on Twitter. ThunderRosa.net is her website. If you need some sick-ass Thunder Rosa merchandise, hit her up there. And then YouTube.com / Thunder Rosa is her YouTube page. And if you're not following her there, you're a fool. You mentioned you've been in the game for only 5 years, but there's a lot of firsts that are thrown in front of your title reigns. You're the first Mexican-born woman to win the NWA Women's Championship, and you're the first Gaijin to win the Tokyo Yoshi Pro International Princess Championship. How much does that mean to you, especially coming from your background?
It means a lot. I mean, I remember the first time I went for Tokyo Joshi, like the promoter, I'm going to start first with Tokyo Joshi and then I'll talk to Endo about NWA. The promoter came at the end of a show before I came back to them to the United States. And he shook my hand, Mr. Tanaka-san. I can't even say it right now. Tanaka-san, sorry. And he said, "You are a very, very good wrestler. I'm proud you're here." And this is like one of the first times that a promoter from Japan said this to me, you know, so it means a lot. And I was like, wow, you know, I was taken by it. And then he's like, "I want you to come back." And I was like, wow, like, you know, I thought I was never going to come back to Japan, you know, after my second tour with Stardom. And that just like, again, motivated me even more. And then when I came back, I became a champion and I was like, I couldn't even believe it, man. I remember when they raised my hand and, you know, I had to grab promo and then my English and my Spanish and my Japanese. I was just like thinking like, wow, like I've come a long way, you know, and it's like, I'm in another country that is not America or Mexico and I became a champion. And that's the dream for a lot of wrestlers. The fact that I was just in Japan and I just became the first Gaijin champion in that company, regardless if it's a big company or not, it's growing. And it just put eyes on me, you know? And then not even a month after I come back and I became the NWA Women's Champion, one of the championships that have the most prestige and the most history and the history of professional wrestling, you know? And the more that I read about it and the more that I, you know, understood the history behind this title, I just understood, how credible it makes me as a professional athlete in the wrestling business. And when I explained that to my parents, my parents, like, they follow my career, especially my mom, she doesn't like me wrestle. But when I explained to her how important it is to be the first Mexican-born wrestler to win the championship, she told me that she was proud of me, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that's just everything.
Yeah, it's all that hard work paying off, and you... You know, you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for your family and your heritage. And it's a nice feather in the cap. Tony, you had a question for Miss Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. You know, the hard work and the accolades coming from your family. I mean, that's awesome. More accolades that I saw from your YouTube page. I wanted to ask you about. You recently became an official American citizen. First of all, congratulations. And second of all,
thank you.
What goes into that? Like we were all born here, so we didn't have to go through the process. But from what I've heard, it's not exactly that easy. Like what goes into that and, you know, being successful in completing that and becoming a citizen, like what does that mean to you overall as well?
Well, man, it took me like 20 years to complete the process. I started in like 1998 or 97 when my dad applied for a green card. And then we didn't get papers to like cross the border until like 2003, which we had a visa to work and study. So that's how I came here. We crossed legally and everything, thank God, because otherwise it would have been even harder to like achieve anything. And then I got my visa in 2005. So from 2005 until like 2019, I had a green card. But I remember when I first started wrestling, and Lucha Underground, I started making some decent money. I said, wrestling is going to pay for my citizenship. And I save up my $2,000, pay my lawyer, and be like, hey, I need to get my citizenship. And I did it that way. The wrestling paid for it. Like, all the hard work from wrestling, you know, it paid for it. So 2019, that's when I got the call to get the day to get my test. I got my test. The people there, they were really big-time wrestling fans, and they asked me to be a keynote speaker. You guys can watch the video on my YouTube. Chris Wolf helped me write my speech because I'm terrible at writing speeches. And at the end, I quoted the Hulk Hogan song, and it was pretty dope.
All right. Hold on. Time out. What you quoted, I am a real American?
Hell yeah, dude.
That's all right.
I mean, might as well, man. Everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. And then some people start singing it. So it was at the end, they were asking me for autographs. That's how funny it was.
So wait, how far into the song did you get? Did you go like full bore? Like,
I want to be an American. Like that just part of it. I'm just a real American. Like that first, like, I'm Joe Weber. I'm going to fight for your rights. Like that whole, almost the whole chorus.
So see, there's something on YouTube that you may have overlooked. You.
Yeah.
And the Rosa doing real American.
Hell yeah.
But let me ask you this, though, because you touched on Lucha Underground, and it's kind of been out of the spotlight for a little bit, and we don't know the future, if there is a future for Lucha Underground. Maybe you can speak a little bit more to that or not. But talk about your time there, because I feel like that was an ahead of its time promotion that was a TV series that focused around pro wrestling, but it had a lot of bells and whistles with it. What was your take on Lucha Underground, and how have you spent your time there?
Man, it was great. Like, it helped me so much to be where I am right now, to be confident in front of the camera, to know how to like work angles, to like learn how to, you know, what the producers are looking for, you know, what the writers, what story they were looking for, you know, and like to feed my my learning curve was a lot faster than a lot of people, because I was put on a spot that I wasn't ready, but I had to make sure I stay ready when we came back, you know? So, I mean, it had a lot of, like, I have good and bad memories, but I think I will just totally focus on the good, because if I didn't have that opportunity, I don't think I would have taken my abilities to where I am right now, and where, you know, I can perform Lucha style, I can, you know, perform Japanese style, I can perform, like, American style with, you know, with confidence, and not shy away from opportunities or for things, because, you know, I was prepared there, and that was like my platform for me to show what I can do. And if I didn't know, I will develop it. You know, the same with like being a valet instead of a wrestler for like a whole season, and how important it is to tell a story, you know, without having to wrestle, you know, and how important it is to like put a character over, you know, and to make it mean something. I mean, I learned so much from mistakes that I made, and now it's just like I'm applying everything to like what I do in the NWA, especially when we're trying to tell a story. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are like in the first season, they were into the story that we were trying to tell, right?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. One of the things that I really loved about the return of the NWA, and you could talk to the other guys. I'm a diehard fan. I'm in love with the NWA. I'm kind of sad it had to go away. I'm ecstatic that it's coming back. But one thing that I really enjoyed was the entire story of the women's division. You know, you had Marty Bell, who was an outside player, and her fallout with Allison Kay. Then you came along and you stood right up to Allison Kay and you said, "I'm coming after your title." Then Marty Bell joins you. Now Ashley Vox doesn't know where to go. Melina comes in and she's like taking charge and she's pushing you to the championship. You have these epic two matches with Allison Kay, and now Melina turns around and she says, now she's giving you the eye, like she wants to come after you for the championship. What goes into that story? Like, how much input do you guys have, or is this all like a William Corrigan and his crew that comes up with this stuff? Like, how involved do you guys get in telling these stories? Because I got to tell you, they're really intricate, and I just love following the whole thing, and I'm all in when it comes to the women's division in the NWA. How involved are you and the other ladies in general with the storyline that you guys are telling?
I think I was more like, they just told me to be mean, and I was like, all right, with the story, of course. And then I think that they just want, they really wanted to focus on you know, just having matches to really develop the characters that were going to be, you know, the top faces of the female division. And I think they did a really good job. And we were going on a really interesting turn of events before, you know, COVID happened. And man, I wish I would have known what would have happened with the story. yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. Again, it was really cool. When I remember when the first time when we attacked Allison K, and it was Marty, Melina, and I, we were standing together. For me, it was very powerful. Unfortunately, that episode was overshadowed with some of the stuff that Jim Cornette, you know, said, and people were just like not really paying attention to like that moment. And I feel like there's so many things in my career that had been overshadowed by things that I have no control over, and that was one of them. Like that was that moment right there. It was so important. And I'm not talking just about me, but I'm just talking about in general, because you see three very powerful Latino women, you know, Marty Bell is Dominican, I am Mexican, and Melina is Mexican American, you know, so it's like, you don't see that very often, and that's like such a beautiful moment. I have a picture here in not in my living room, but in my room of that, and then, yeah, I just really enjoy the fact that it was very diverse.
It was a great moment, And I do love how Thunder Rosa is portrayed when she's in the ring, when she's cutting an interview. You know, you may not be the tallest woman out there, but you're the toughest, and you always portray that you're the toughest. But one thing that I do have to ask you about, there's this weird, like I don't know if it's brother-sister kind of chemistry that you and another favorite of mine, the Question Mark, have. I've seen the videos, and I've been following you guys on Twitter a bit. What's the relationship like there with Question Mark? Because you two seem like you're having just a grand old time, and it's not the Thunder Rosa that we see on TV. It's more like the more, I guess, playful Thunder Rosa, if I could describe it that way. Describe your relationship a little bit with Question Mark and how different that is as opposed to, you know, Thunder Rosa in the ring.
I don't know. It's just like him and I, we just click really well, and every time we're like in front of a camera, we're just like being silly and messing around. But that's like my other side of me, you know, that I didn't show in the NWA. And I mean, some people were criticizing me for showing that in one of the what was it? I think it was like the like mini documentary that I did before my fight. And I was showing like my real self, but you know, I just don't. I mean, sometimes we have to keep kayfabe and you know, let the fans wonder. But I mean, I've done so many videos and so many stories and stuff, and I, you know, this is me. Like, I have a really, you know, dark side, and I have a really nice side that a lot of people know about me. So yeah, when I'm with a Question Mark, that's what I show. That he's so stupid.
Speaking of,
makes me laugh so much.
Speaking of keeping the fans wondering, there's a certain champion in AEW who has an open challenge. And we've seen Ricky Starks show up on Dynamite. And there's a lot of names that float around. But the one that I keep seeing that people are dying to see is Thunder Rosa show up in AEW. How much would that mean to you if you were given that opportunity to go up there on the grandest, I mean, it's one of the grandest stages of all in TNT, and try and, you know, add another title to your collection?
Hey, man, they know where I live. They know my number. They can find me on any social media. Sheeta knows. Everybody knows. Like, I mean, the fans are asking for it, but I don't know if the AEW women's division is ready for me, honestly. I mean, to be 100% honest with you. Or you actually, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think they're ready for me? Honestly. In all honesty.
Do I? No, I don't think they're ready for you at all. They got a lot of people on the shelf, and I'm going to be honest. Their women's division is lacking, and they could use a superstar like Thunder Rosa. So I don't know if they're ready to have you come in there and knock everybody on their ass and take their title and you know, bring it back to the graveyards of Tijuana, Mexico.
Yeah, like so I'm gonna, if that ever happened, man, I will, it will be, you know, just kind of like what you guys saw with Alice and Kay, you know, magic.
Well, then
I'm ready. I'm ready for anybody, man. Anybody.
Let me ask you this. Will they ever be ready for Thunder Rosa? Will there ever be a point in time where they will be like, okay, we're ready? Or is it just going to be whenever you walk in there, you're just knocking the doors down and just tearing everything apart?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm here sitting right now talking to you all about this. So they know where I live. They got my email. They know my Twitter. I know Cody be liking my stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm here. I'm training. Staying ready, man. Staying ready, right, Drago? We're staying ready.
There you go.
You think you could ask Cody why there's no AEW figures in New Jersey yet?
You should send him a message, man. Be like, hey, bro, we've been looking for stuff. I don't see nothing.
One more question before we let you go, Thunder Rose. We know you're super busy. The United Wrestling Network, they announced that they'll team with the NWA starting September 15th with a weekly pay-per-view series. How happy does that make you that you can finally get back to defending the NWA Women's Championship that you have carried with such pride and joy, and you can finally get back into the ass-kicking business that you're so good at?
I'm just ready to wrestle, man. I'm ready to rumble. Like, every time I get in the ring, it's just, like, I feel like it's fun. It's fun. It's like, the fact that I can create, you know, again and make magic and be able to connect with the fans, even if it's through TV. That's, you know, I love it. And I'm super excited. It's so funny because, like, somebody, I just read a comment yesterday, and they're like, well, you should be an asterisk right next to Thunder Rosa's name because, you know, she hasn't really defended the title. And I'm just kind of like, let me tell you all something, boo-boo. I actually defended the title like 2 times, you know? So get your facts straight. No, and I was like that. I was like, when I wrote it like that, I'm just like, hey, it's not my fault that the COVID happened. It's not like I can go around and be like, some of my homie from like the corner should be like, hey, bro, you want me to defend the title right now? Right here, right now? No, I can't do it, you know? So, but I'm excited. I'm excited to defend it.
You should do that, by the way.
That would be so funny.
Thunder Rosa, we are excited. Again, at ThunderRosa22 on Twitter, ThunderRosa.net. If you're looking for some awesome merchandise, there's awesome designs, and they're up on our Twitter as well as ThunderRosa.net. YouTube.com/ThunderRosa is her YouTube channel. Definitely check that out. It's been a pleasure talking with you tonight. We know you're super busy, so we're going to let you go. Anything you want to leave the fans with before we say goodbye to you?
Yeah, don't forget, we're starting Mission Pro Wrestling. We have our first show in September 18. It's the promotion that I am running, and it's all-female run. And it's an all-female show. And it will be streamed for those who don't live in Texas. It will be streamed in Title Match Network. You guys can see it live. So I would love for all of y'all to see the magic that we're creating in the ring, which I will be defending my championship for those who, like, wonder what happened to Thunder Rosa defending her championship. The same day against Lindsay Snow. So it's going to be a good one, y'all.
And that's Hell Hath No Fury. You can get tickets at missionprowrestling.net. And then we got Holodead, Big Swole, Lindsay Snow, what's that, La Rosa Negra there. It's a pretty stacked lineup. So definitely if you're in Texas in September, it shouldn't be too hot, right? Or do I not know what I'm talking about?
No, it's going to be outside. It's all like, you know, everybody's required face coverings. It's going to be social distancing. And the venue is very excited to have us there. So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun, Thunder Rosa. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Tell Drago, get him primed up. We're going to do Drago versus Buster. And they're going to...
I will. Drago's gonna be excited. Every time he sees the dog, he just wants to play. So he's ready to throw down, right, Drago?
Oh, maybe they'll be
ready to play. Yeah, Drago's a great buddy.
Thunder Rosa, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night. We look forward to seeing you in the NWA, Mission Pro Wrestling, and hopefully one day in the AEW.
Thank you.
You guys are very welcome.
Thunder Rosa, everyone.
All right. Awesome. Thunder Rosa, again, at Thunder Rosa 22 on the Twitter machine. Awesome interview. Great chat. Let me just send her a message, and then we are going to find out who reigns supreme between me and Tony Z.
I thought you said Bravo too, by the way.
I thought she said Bravo too.
And she's like training her dog to, like, when she said that, I was like, well, you're a trained fighter, you're a trained wrestler. What are you training your dog to do? Oh, sit.
Bitches when they come into her house unexpectedly.
Right. Sonya Deville could have used Drago. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I know. We know exactly what you're saying, but Kevin, it's quite the tenses right now. Because we've got ourselves a little tiebreaker action going.
That's right, guys. For those who are just joining us, we are catching back up. The score is tied 1-1, and can you beat that? Shining Wizards Matt, a.k.a. Just Matt right here, won the WWE CW Championship question. And wait, or no. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony won the NXT question because I'm an expert of all things NXT.
Pulling Samoa Joe out of the the woodwork there. All right, boys.
Do.
Breaker is entitled "The Grandest Stage Where They Fall."
Oh boy!
And there are 12 answers. That I've done my due diligence and found 12 answers to this. This is, and I think I may have played the game wrong before. I'm not supposed to give you how many, the category before you guess the thing, right?
No, you are.
All right, here we go. These are wrestlers that have challenged for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania and lost. So
I have a question. Does this include the big gold belt?
No. WWE Championship. It includes if they were united, like the Undisputed or the WWE Universal or whatever, like, but the WWE World Championship, where there's only one belt. So other than that, it is strictly the WWE Championship. No big gold belt. Unless, you know, there was a time when it was the WWE World Championship. And
let me ask you a question just for clarification. These are just people that have lost the opportunity to win, like they've actually
they challenged for the belt at WrestleMania
and they lost. Okay.
So now, there are 12 answers.
Potentially somebody could have challenged at a different time and won and also challenged and lost.
Only all right. So I'm gonna that to me that's a moot question. Because if you won, that's not going to be included in the list. But you may, yes. So, yes, you may have also lost. But there's also if you've done it more than once. So someone might be on the list twice, or someone may have lost twice, but they're only on the list once.
Okay.
So it's only the guys that have challenged and lost. And there's 12 of them. And think a little bit outside the box for this. Just go through your WrestleManias, and they've challenged for the WWE Championship, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and that's it. Not Universal, not big gold belt by itself.
All right, I just need a second here. This is...
That's all right. Take your time.
So this is for the WWE Championship. Not the World Heavyweight Championship.
Nope. I'm very generous, or I want to give you guys hints, but I'm going to lay off.
Oh, shit. Come on now.
I'm going to say I can name 4.
Oh, fuck me running.
All right. Let me also say WWE includes the WWF, by the way. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's not just it's from day one-ish. I don't want to make that. I want to make that clear that it's just not get the F out stuff. All right, so who guessed, who said four?
I did. Oh. Matty Ice did.
Matty Ice. Let me just cover my ass and pull it up on the old Wikipedia just in case, but I'm
going to go with seven. What you got, Matt?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You ain't got 7. You ain't gonna get 8.
Tony, you said 7?
Yes.
I'll say 8.
You're full of shit, dude. Come on. There's no way.
I'm saying 8.
I fucking hate your face. Oh, God. Let me see.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'm going to say 9. I'm going to say 9 because I can name 9. You go higher than 9, it's going to be on you. But I can name 9. Guaranteed, you will lose if you don't say a number higher than 9.
Type, 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 type.
No, he's not typing.
No, no, it was me. I was typing.
I'll say 10.
You're going to do it, dude. I pass it to you. Take the 10.
All right. It's people that challenged for a title at WrestleMania.
I feel like he's going to get it.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I think he's very
The back half of this is where I'm worried.
Yep. You should be.
Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 11.
Well, why that is yours, but okay.
That is one.
Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3.
That is 2.
Big John Studd. No. King Kong Bundy. King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. Wow.
That is 3.
I caught myself. I don't know why I wrote down Big John Studd. Whew. All right, so I got 3. I got King Kong Bundy. I got HBK. I got Andre. From WrestleMania 2000.
This is what I was waiting for.
The Rock, The Big Show, and Mick Foley.
Okay, that, good.
That is 4, 5, and 6.
All right, let's see what else you got, buddy.
All right. John Cena.
I mean, technically, you don't have to give me an event.
He lost to Shawn Michaels. Right, maybe? Is that the wrong guy?
Nope. No, it's the wrong guy, but you got the answer right.
John Cena.
He lost to The Miz at WrestleMania 27.
Yes, with The Rock. Oh, okay, yes. That's why I wrote him down.
And also lost to Randy Orton and Triple H at WrestleMania 24.
Okay.
Right, so Matt, how many have to get to? 10?
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6. You're at 7.
Okay. Ah, shit, my wife is calling me.
Oh, well, she's got to wait.
Triple H.
Okay.
Roman Reigns.
Wait, Matt. Matt, you're wrong.
He challenged Brock Lesnar, and he lost when Seth Rollins cashed in, didn't he? Or is that because it's the Universal title?
You said Triple H at one point.
Wait, that was the universal. That may have been the Universal Championship.
You may want to check on that one, Kev. I think he's right on that one. But I thought he said Triple H.
Triple H lost, challenged and lost. Triple H challenged John Cena at WrestleMania 22, and challenged 24 against Orton and Cena.
Okay, because he said Triple H and nobody acknowledged anything there.
Well, because he went to Seth Rollins real quick, and he wasn't on my. I mean, he went to Roman Reigns and he wasn't on my list, so I got to check.
All right.
Seth Rollins.
Is that a world championship or a universal championship? Fuck the WWE for having so many championships.
I don't know.
It is the WWE World Championship. Yep.
All right. So that counts. I did not have that on the list.
Well, I did. So good job, Kev.
That one threw me off.
And I got one more.
All right. So let me plug in Roman here. That's 9.
What you got, buddy?
Batista at WrestleMania 30. In a triple threat match against Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan.
That was for the world championship.
Was it?
No, it was for both.
For both?
Daniel Bryan holds up both belts at the end. But. All right. This is epic fail on my end. This is the one I did the most research on. I guess I gotta count it.
What are we counting?
Hold on, wait. Maybe I. Hold on. Let me look. Wait. Who'd you say though? Batista?
Yeah.
Okay, so that match is supposed to be Batista versus Randy Orton. That's all right. That's why. And then Daniel Bryan won his way in.
Right, but Batista challenged and he lost, right?
Yeah, he did.
That was for both belts?
That was when it was one title, though. Randy Orton had both of them. And,
well, then that counts.
Yeah, it does count. It's not what I had in mind, but sure.
Well played, sir. Well played. Two of them that I had, and I didn't think of John Cena. That was fail on my part. Otherwise, I would have fucking went for 11. But I didn't think of Triple H. I had Shawn Michaels. I had Lex Luger from WrestleMania 10.
No, he.
Yes, he did, Kevin. Come on.
Challenged Yokozuna, and he lost.
Yeah. I fucked this one up.
And I had Shinsuke Nakamura. Was that for the Universal? Was that for the?
No, I had Shinsuke versus AJ. I had Chris Jericho versus CM Punk.
That's the one I didn't have.
I had Randy Orton versus Triple H at 25. I had Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 20.
So you had more than 12, dude.
Well, including the ones that I completely effed up, yeah.
So then the possible answers were supposed to be like 15 or 16.
No, I get that now. I didn't think it through.
Look, I mean, Matt got the right answer.
Now I
got
to go back and think if I actually meant that the WWE World Heavyweight Championship counted. I said it, so it counts.
Well, I am the interim champion. Unless you want a rematch next week. Do we need a rematch?
If you're offering a rematch, I'll gladly accept. This was fun, dude. We had a fucking banger of a fucking 2 out of 3 here.
Yeah, we did.
I think I said it and didn't mean it. Because none of the things I have on here are the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I will gladly take the rematch, and I will absolutely concede the victory to you, dude. That was well played. Absolutely. 100%. Well played, sir.
Damn it. I thought about it, and then I probably took it out.
See, when I was thinking of 12, though, I had 9 written down, and I'm like, I don't know these other three. I'm not going to get these other three. Let's see if he can get these other three. Little did I know there was like seven more.
Yeah, well, I didn't screw up the list. I screwed up how I described it to you.
You screwed up how many answers there were.
Well, no, I screwed up how many answers there were because I didn't include things that I said that I would include. My list doesn't include the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, but that's...
But I said that it did, which was the mistake. You know what I mean?
All right.
All right. Well, congratulations, Matt.
Thank you. Maybe we'll try this again next week.
No, I can't do this.
I'll come up with the questions. I'll give them to Kevin.
Maybe we could have the world champion do the questions for me and you.
Oh, God. You want to give Kate a shot at this?
It's an outside source. We could do a three-way.
No, three-ways are going to be way too confusing. Because then if the person gets it wrong, then how do you divvy up the points? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work.
If he's wrong, he's out. And then the other two can answer.
God damn it.
I don't know. That's tough.
All right. Well, this has been an epically long episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We covered everything from the Thunderdome to the Thunder Rosa. Give us a follow on social media at Wizards Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. ShiningWizards.com is the website. If you're looking to put on a sexy ass Shining Wizards t-shirt, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards and pick up a t-shirt. And if you want to win some swag, just go on our Twitter. Every week we hold a contest where you have to retweet our pinned tweet, and it's usually our latest episode, and I will randomly pick a winner. Last week's winner, in the middle of this show, sent us a picture of him drinking a beer in his Ric Flair koozie and his Shining Wizards t-shirt getting ready for Raw. That's nice. Just a small sample of the things that we're giving away. So get in on our Twitter contests. Episode 495
I'm doing questions again next week.
Oh, he's in!
I'm doing them again next week. I got a rebound.
Hey, Matt, I don't know if you plugged it during the plugs because I was busy getting a beverage. Mikey Whipwreck is actually giving away a Shining Wizards t-shirt.
He is indeed.
All you got to do is go to @MikeyWhipwreck_ on the Twitter and tell him why Mike Freeland is a mooch or why Mike Freeland isn't a mooch. And the best answer is going to get a Shining Wizards shirt from the guys at Front Row Material and your boys, the Shining Wizards.
That's it. We'll be back next week, episode 495. There's a lot of guests lining up, working towards the big 500, which will be taking place September 27th. So mark that all on your calendar. Hopefully we have something big planned for you guys. Until then, we will see you next week.
Good night, everybody.